Hey, Michael?
Yeah.
Okay. I know it probably looks good to you, but I need you to move to your left just a teeny bit.
That way?
Yeah, right there. Okay. Kind of, yeah. There, we're good. Okay, now, yeah, you're fine. Okay. Love you long time. I am so looking forward to doing this. Do you know who I am at all?
Not really.
I'm the one that created the Ron Paul Revolution logo.
Oh, is that right?
So from the beginning, I've known Ron. He's spoken at three of our Freedom Summits. Long story. But the thing is, I've been a hardcore anarchist libertarian activist since like the early 90s. And it's a lot of stuff. You know, we have the site and the show, and there's a bunch of stuff that we've done. But the bottom line is that we've been appreciating what you've been doing for a long time. We're going to talk about it on the show. The reason I wanted to talk to you is you are a perfect example of what we knew was coming. We started Freedom's Phoenix in our heads back in 96, but waited until video hit the internet in 2005. And I go, all right, now's the time, pull the trigger. We were waiting for this to happen because we knew there's going to be a whole bunch of Michaels out there, all right? I talked to Michael Nystrom. I talked to, you're good friends. I talked to some of the other guys in the community, and they're all looking forward to this, and this is what happened. In 2002, right after 9/11, there was a guy. You ever heard of Checkpoint USA and all? Am I being detained? Border crossing stuff, all the border checkpoints and all that crap.
Yeah.
Now that started with a guy that's a good friend of mine, and we covered and went all the way to the Ninth Circuit, and he got $250,000 settlement, and went and all kinds of stuff happened. But they were trying to take down all his videos, and we stored them on our servers. Okay, so.
Nice.
So there is a whole, here we go, in about 10 seconds. All right, hold on. We'll talk about it. We're going to help you out.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
No fear! No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear! No fear here and declare your independence. I'm Ernest Hancock in Phoenix, Arizona from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Oh, today is awesome days. They're always, every day is awesome. And man, are you getting awesome shows? I mean, we are so awesome. All right, let me tell you. What makes us awesome is getting guys like Michael, from Mox News, M-O-X News, Mox News. And let me tell you how good he is. He's so good they want to take out his chat. You're not allowed to talk about that. We've known this was coming, okay? This was coming. It's called the memory hole. Hell, even the memory hole got bought up by Google. what happens when with a stroke of push a button, all of a sudden, entire archives of information, truth, Justin Merkin way, just goes away. It's and be gone. Okay, so the king is just making sure that you don't get to challenge him. From crossbows to cryptography, man, the peasants aren't allowed to have the tools to rise up against the man, and that is more often than anything else is just plain information. What we do at Freedom's Phoenix is we go through the internet. We'll have, I don't know, 50 to 70 new articles up a day. I mean, it's just rock and roll, man. This is our perspective on what's going on. Yep. Same headline, same story, same link. There it is. The only editorial comment we get out of it is the graphic. Okay? Everything's visual. And we knew that in 96, we've been activists since early 90s. Once we understood what was going on with the internet and we see what was coming, keep in mind, you know, we started when we had 3,500 baud modems. I mean, hey, you can send a picture. It only takes an hour. You know, I'm going, wow. You know, we go, when video hits the internet, oh, video will never hit the internet. Oh, you are them crazy pie in the sky sci-fi guys. I go, no. When video hits the internet, we're going to launch Freedom's Phoenix. The rebirth, the phoenix rising from the ashes of Lady Liberty's torch. That's what that was all about, you know, from here in Phoenix helps too. So I'm going, you know, the Freedom's Phoenix, it will rise. The revolution will be televised. It's going to be experienced. It's going to be holodecked. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be written all over. Banksy's going to have it on the wall. Here we go. Well, who represents that kind of thing? Well, there's always going to be somebody like Michael at Mox News. Now what happens? You start getting sensitive stuff. You start coming to the attention, you know, that Chinese curse thing. You come to the attention of important people and, you know, and they know who you is, you know. And I'm going, all right, why would they want to stop someone like this sharing news information? And I thought there was some laws to protect that. You know, it's like you had exclusions from somebody whining and bitching because it's in the public interest to know, like, you know, what's going on freaking news. I mean, you know, so who's going to watch all this stuff? Who's going to go through all the C-SPANs? Who's going to watch the BBC? Who's going to go through and say, yep, you said it. All right, well, here you go. And you got tens of thousands of subscribers. What do they do? They, them, those. There are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you, Michael? Are you a leave me alone-ist?
I wouldn't ever say that. I don't really understand what you're asking.
Well, my thing is, you know, the philosophy of this, you know, they always say, well, what are you? What's your philosophy? Are you libertarian? I'm just a leave me aloneist, man. I just want to be left alone. And they're not leaving you alone. And the reason that I'm interested in what your story is that we have, technology is getting to the point where distributed networks and being able to put up video that lasts for freaking ever is the opportunity is now. And I've talked to some people that have, it's kind of like encrypted Dropbox, you know, is forever and always. You can have your videos put up on the internet and they can never, ever be taken down. That's the point. And I said, Michael at Mox News is a perfect example, and I want to use you as an ability to take all the videos that you have, store them up on the people cloud, none of this Amazon sharing cloud with the CIA kind of crap. But I mean, yeah, it's distributed over the internet. This technology has come, I've been following it for years, and it's now time that it's able to put, I've had them send me stuff from Storge, storj.io. Go check that out. Made Safe. .net. You know, these guys are working on the very type of encryption and distributed information for people exactly like you. And for the reasons that they are coming after you is why we needed to do this. We knew it was coming. I'm sitting there watching you. When this latest effort to try and shut you down is there, I'm going, you know what? We're going to be Moxie News' new best friends. Because this is BS. So let's go ahead and talk about you. No, have you ever done any interviews before or talked to people?
This is the first interview that I've done since I began on the YouTube, for sure.
Okay, when did you start YouTube doing that?
It was about the fifth or sixth year of Bush, Shrub.
Okay, so that would be like Pelosi's going to be House, you know. You got the anti-wars kind of going pretty good. You have the campaign for president in the 08 campaign just getting started. So it was right about the beginning of the revolution.
It was very much right at the beginning of the revolution. And I have to thank you for that, because that really inspired an awful lot of people. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, no. I've been, and you know, a lot of people inspired me, and I knew, you know, this is exact. In fact, it's a long story. We can go on so many things that you've crossed over in the inspiration you've given us, and we expected you. We knew that this would happen. You did such a fantastic job. You continue to, and I'm looking at, when did you start first getting some kind of a feedback from YouTube as it evolved into, you know, the Google, I don't know, the domination of the Sauron's eye or whatever, you know. But I'm going, it used to be you just put stuff up and nobody cared. Now it became a thing, and the channel started to become a thing, and subscribers started to become a thing. Here out of Arizona is 4409, okay? I don't know if you know who 4409 is. He's got another 60, 70,000 subscribers and did a lot of short videos, you know, kind of doing a lot of street activism. And very popular. We see that YouTube, all of a sudden, he started making money. He's like, oh my God, they send you checks and stuff. You know, this is awesome, you know, from all the views. And then it got to where, the conditions and you're not allowed. And I'm going, wow, why would they target? Tell us about the law. You know, how is it that you're able to do what you do, and you're supposed to be protected by some kind of fair use thing? Tell us what that means.
Well, I've always felt that the way that I present the video post that I make has always been fair use, which is it's presented in a non-commercial format in order to inform the public and to start a discussion amongst the public about, you know, all kinds of very important topics to, you know, being part of our society.
Why though? Why do you care? You know, when we come up on the break here, we're going to get the talk. We didn't get the talk very much before the show. Go to the archive. It's always the archive. Where we get all good get in the archive. So what we're going to do is, Michael, I wanted to introduce you to him. I wanted to get to know him. I don't think he has any idea how much support he has, from whom, and what we're going to be doing behind the scenes using him as an example, because we can and we need to. You got a lot more friends than you think, Michael. We're going to help you to the point the other guys go, no, we didn't mean it. Did you agree? Did you totally agree? I'll bet that you did. But did you read the agreement? There are 7 billion people on Earth, and there are over 6 billion active cell phone accounts right now. And every one of them came with an agreement. Billions have already agreed to allow entities that they do not know to use and abuse every feature of their mobile devices. Your computer activity is monitored and archived. Your car is tracked, and even your face is scanned. The current power structure grows more fearful every day of your desire for anonymity, independence, free association, freedom of movement, freedom of expression, and your freedom of thought. And entire categories of humans will be targeted. And if they, then those that won't leave us alone, determine that we are not within their control, then we will be categorized as out of control. FreedomsPhoenix.com will launch the next phase of the Levolution by the end of the summer of 2014. And if you have to tell your neighbors about it, then we did it wrong. Okay. This is... hold on a second. Okay, can we get Mox News in the newspaper? I mean, can we add, just do a little something? Do you do any graphics, Michael? I mean, can you do a graphic if we need... we have a newspaper, and I wanted to put, you know, some pimpy a little bit. You know, is there something you can come up with?
Probably. Okay. I don't see why not.
Okay, this is what I need. Donna, in the email, she will send you, but I need it by the end of the weekend. I mean, we're about ready to wrap up the paper.
Okay. And
so what it is you just have, you know, Mox News, wherever, but I need a QR code to go to wherever you want people to land and where you think that they're going to get the most likelihood that in, you know, 6 months it'll still be there. So, I mean, if you have a web page or a, you know.
Yeah, or, yeah, we have a QR code for that already.
All right, done. You get me, because that's what we're doing. The ad we have, like, you'd be surprised, you know, a lot in the community. So just have Mox.
No, you sound like a super prolific guy, man. Like, you're just working all the time.
We have magazine, newspaper, and radio show. I'm an act. I was you. I am you. You know, it's just my beard's not as long. I mean, I just, you know, this is how old are you?
52.
I'm 53. Okay. So we graduated, you know, the end of the 70s, 79, 80. You know, remember the Moscow Olympic boycott, Afghanistan, Cold War, oil embargo, blah, 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 Watergate. Yeah, right. I mean, you know, just all the bullshit. Okay. So when I have four children and get coming up on 10 grandchildren. I mean, you know, it's just like,
wow.
You know what? This is, man, we get it. And our perspective is what is important. It's not all the little blah, 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 blah. We've been through this before. This propaganda mill, this bullshit. And what you do is provide that perspective on the current news, you know, by this is important. Because a lot of these guys, they'll see them say stuff up there and not even realize why it was important. You know, you do a fantastic public service, and I want to make sure that it gets up there for freaking ever, okay?
You know why people don't realize that it's important is because they'll do something important, and then they'll do something completely stupid right following it. So it kind of numbs your brain to where if you're just intaking an hour of Fox News or whatever it is, you know, you begin to just hear, you know, it kind of just is like a white noise.
Yep.
You know, as opposed to like picking up, you'll see the important story and go, oh, I gotta, you know, that's important. And then they'll do something so dumb that it
negates it.
It's like a lobotomy almost.
Here we go.
RN.FM. Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Oh, no ROADS! No ROADS! Or where's my flying car? Okay. Michael at Mox News let's go ahead and give out some web pages and stuff. People need to go and check you out and everything right away. Okay, where would you send them? I mean, you know, because we want to get you the paper. We want to make sure everybody already does know you, but they don't really know you. You know, they know what you do. They appreciate. They share all your videos. I know. How many views do you think your channel has had? I mean, how many gazillions?
The C-SPAN junkie days, it's over 400 million.
400 million!
What are you, YouTube.
Yeah, what are you, Psy, Gundam style? I mean, you know, I'm going, that's amazing. Now, the thing is that there is a way, if you have that many subscribers and how many eyes, I mean, YouTube, I remember when they went commercial and that you could actually make money on your popularity. Is that possible? I mean, you've been doing okay, haven't you?
It's
changing.
You can't really, they offer to monetize videos where they'll put an ad on top of a video or off in the corner of the page of the video. But if you do that, then you can't really claim fair use.
Ah.
If you're actually, you know, presenting it and making someone watch a commercial before they watch your video, that's no longer fair use.
Okay, so you don't do that.
I have never monetized a single video on the YouTube.
Oh, see how cool you are? Okay. Now, not that I have any problem making money. I mean, I may make all the money you want, but I mean, do you have like contributors? Do people support what you're doing in some way?
Yes, I have about 75 people who make a monthly contribution of anywhere from $1 to $20. And then also, you know, people will just make a contribution on on a one-time basis also. Every couple days somebody will drop me $20 or something.
Okay, now where should we go right now to do that very thing?
You go to moxnews.com.
Mox.
And it's easy to do from that point.
Moxnews.com. This is, when you did your recent video on their effort to start taking it, tell us the video that in their latest version of You're Not Allowed, you know, what it was that set them off.
The first copyright strike, well, the page that just got deleted had 67,000 subscribers and 65 million video views and over 12,000 videos on it with millions and millions of comments. And for the last 6 months, I haven't posted a video there, or at least none of the news videos. I've done a couple commentaries, or monologues or whatever you like to call them. But, I was waiting for a copyright strike to be removed because if you don't get another copyright strike for 6 months, that copyright strike is then taken off of off your page and you get all your features back, like being able to upload videos over 15 minutes and stuff like that. And part of when you're making an archive like this on the YouTube it becomes a real custodial kind of feeling, like you have to watch it and protect it and make sure that nothing bad happens to it. And I'm so sorry to you guys that something bad happened to it. I waited 6 months to do anything. And then I got the page back and I posted, the next video, I posted a few videos and then I posted an interview with Leon Panetta, ex-CIA director, ex-Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta, who was talking about how the war against ISIS is going to be a very, very long war. And I thought, this is important information. So, of course, I posted that interview. It was a BBC interview. And then I got a copyright strike for it a few days later. And it only had 250 views on it. And I was thinking, you know, that won't even buy somebody a beer. I don't understand these people.
Because 200 of them were they, them, those.
I don't understand. It's really...
I understand perfectly, Michael. Let me explain it to you. They don't want you sharing the inside what they're doing. People have the perspective of truth, justice, murk, and way when they're going to have a forever freaking they get to make money war. Okay?
Yeah,
and you're just in their way.
And I think that's kind of partially what upset people was I started talking about how we end the endless war on terror. I made a video about that saying that we have to all come to an agreement about, you know, why it is we want Congress people to go to jail. And that's because we have to make it so that we all agree war profiteering is a crime and it must be, and that those people must go to jail for that. And if we do that, then we can stop this war. Then we can get our world back from the evil people that have taken over our government and lots of other governments.
And you're wondering why they came out? You don't understand, seriously?
Well, no, I don't understand. I don't understand how YouTube can act like what I'm doing is not fair use.
Oh, I know why. Let me tell you why. This is how they cut. Because they can.
Because
okay?
They can. Same reason cops kill people. Because
they can. Okay? This is, and they need ideas, you know, and motivations and activism and inspiration and viral, you know, understandings of an entire generation next. You and I are near the same age, okay? We remember a lot of the, you know, these milestones in history of all the propaganda BS that we had to put up with. And you see it repeating. And you look, I can tell from your perspective, you're going, yeah, this is important information. Here you got the former Secretary of Defense. You have, yeah, he was Secretary of Defense at one time, wasn't he, for a little while? And then you have, and CIA, you know, this might as well just be Daddy Bush. I mean, you know, you got, you know, these kind of guys up there saying, oh, yeah, we're going to have us along. Because it started with this 20-year terror war. And I'm going, the 100-year war and the 7-day war and the 7-day war, they always at least had the courtesy of naming them after it, you know? Now they're doing it before. Oh, we need you to know, you need to gird your loins and just get ready for this long-ass war. And you're going, no, I already know where this goes, no. And they said, we don't need you anymore. So what happened to all those videos and those files? Are they forever gone? Did they finally put a stake in its chest? What?
Well, they're all there. I believe actually all the videos that I posted from the C-SPAN junkie days back in 2007, 2006 are still there also on the YouTube. They just put them into some kind of suspended limbo land, and nobody gets to see him ever again, as far as I can tell.
When did this finally
down the memory hole? Gone.
When did this finally get done? When did they flip the switch?
It was just a couple days ago. It would have been Tuesday, I believe, because I, you know, it's really weird. I get a copyright strike, and then the one from Leon Panetta from BBC, and then a couple days later, Kentucky Educational Television gave me a copyright strike for the Kentucky Senate debate.
Conspiracy! Conspiracy!
Shiny badges on your jacket.
Yeah, no, this is, they wanted, you, man, you're on the list. You're just a...
Well, I'm definitely on the list.
You're a neon flashing example of, you know, so freaking not this, okay? See, the thing is that I understood, and I'm sure you did too. Come on, man. You saw how this stuff was going, you know, for decades. You know, if they can, they will. And, you know, they can. So you go, I don't see how they can't. What do you mean, you don't see? You push a button. That's, you know, you just got to control the guy with the button, you know? So everything gets consolidated under, and YouTube gets put in along with everything else and kind of, you know, and you're not allowed. So are you at your computer that you could surf something or look up something?
Possibly.
Okay, a couple of things. One, type in made, M-A-I-D, like you're made cleaning up, madesafe.net.
Okay.
And you'll see a video there, and I want you to have that up, and you can go watch it later, you know, after we're done.
Okay.
Then storage, just write some of these things down. I want to make sure you got this information, because there's a lot of resources out there for years have had in mind exactly what happened to you as a motivation for doing what they do. And made, MAIDSafe.net is a... service that's soon to come online that's encrypted everything. Everything is distributed. It's like Bitcoin and Napster for every keystroke everywhere for always. Okay.
Wow.
So I'm going, you watched a video, and I've been following this for traveling around everywhere. I mean, I was in New York to meet the guys from Scotland. I was in Orlando here recently to meet Sean Wilkinson from Storge. It's storj.io. Between those two organizations, you'll see. And then another one you want to do is OuterNet. OuterNet. You just put that in, it'll blow up all over the place. It is using satellites to communicate around the world. They have Iridium text messaging. You can do text messaging free from the South Pole. You can do GoTenna is mesh networking. People walk around with their own extending antennas, turning their smartphones into their own mesh grid. It goes on and on and on. The whole idea was to bypass all of this censorship. But there needed to be a place for you to store it that they can't go and shut it off. So they do it distributed. You know, it's like a Tor network going across the internet, encrypted. Everybody's computer is the internet. The way you remember in the early 90s when we used to call up bulletin boards and you'd upload your email and download your email, you know, the BBS, everything. I thought, and the way it could have gone is the internet was that. You know, that was the internet. And then they went World Wide Web, and they started having this decentralized kind of, you know, it's a Verizon, Yahoo, Google, and we just got a bunch of switches, you know, a dozen switches to flip, okay? So this is going back to the way it was going before. It's just we are the internet and encrypted. And by doing that, that means that it resides just in multiple copies of pieces everywhere, kind of like Napster work for video and everything. And they already are starting to load them up, and they have players. And we're wanting to start Freedoms Phoenix. We do a lot of stuff. And one of the main things that I've always wanted to do was to have the ability to host video or create that interface and call it Mox News, you know, over here for all I care, is that it's just the capacity for you to do exactly what you're doing, and they can never take it down. You couldn't took it down if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Now, these files from all back in the C-SPAN junkie days and everything, do you still have them?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I have pretty much everything that I've ever put up on YouTube.
All right, here we go.
Right side of the page at lrn.fm. It's time
for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
They wanted to get him. They wanted to get him. Oh, go get some. Take it all down. They'll never memory hole of ours and forever and forgotten not. And I'm like, really? Okay. So I asked Michael from MoxNews.com. I'm going, all right. Now, all these videos from C-SPAN junkie days back in the day, and you started loading this stuff up and everything, and there they are. You know, you got 65, you know, million on one channel views, over 400 million views. How many? It's somebody's freeing minds. We're tracking it down. We're doing the algorithm. We're seeing who are the people that are having the biggest impact on doing. We're not able to BS. The propaganda's not working. We got a Pentagon effort to shut news. Yeah, Mox News. You know, definitely gets on the list, Mox News. And what happens? You know, you can't even have the Secretary of Defense or ex-CIA go to freaking London. Can't go on the BBC. Can't go in anywhere and him not pull it down and go, see, warmongers, okay? You know, I'm going, yep, they want to take it down. So I'm going, do you have all these files that you could just upload somewhere else if you so chose? And your answer is...
I do. I have 60,000 videos, probably.
I'm sorry, how many?
60,000, something like that.
I mean, do you do anything else?
I walk the dog when I get a chance.
Oh, see, somebody, it always takes one guy. It's always one person. There's that one in one, you know? So what do we need to do to help you? I mean, when you had an emotional... communication with your subscribers and you're like, look, man, I've been trying, you know, I'm trying. So I'm going, okay, what can we do to help?
Well, I am desperate for a place to be able to upload those videos. When YouTube does this to me, which they do every couple of years or so, I start to look around for other places that work to upload all these videos to, that I don't have to worry about them, like you're saying, disappearing again. Because all that work, what really bothers me is all the comments, all the input from everyone else, you know, because that's what makes it interesting. That's what makes people go. That's what people be able to look back and see what people were thinking at that moment when these things were happening. And I don't know. To me, that just seems so important to be able to look at that stuff, to know that it's not just me who's saying this is a load, you know, and we need to stand up against it, that there's thousands and millions of people saying those sort of things.
You know, we have structured Freedom's Phoenix. We're surely of the same mind on a lot of things. And we structured it in such a way, we have hundreds of thousands of entries. And it is probably almost a decade worth. And we separate it by category. You know, it's by date. We have archives that are, you know, searchable. I mean, for exactly this reason. And it was because I understood that this perspective that you're talking about, that is what they don't want. The little news bits, it doesn't really matter. It's discerning the plan from a slice of everything and being able to discern. I mean, do you have 14 TVs on at the same time? I mean, how are you able to do this?
When I'm very busy, I have 3 TVs on and running back and forth between multiple rooms. I'm always recording. I have at least 3 DVRs recording all the time, 2 channels each, pretty much 20 hours a day plus. So that way I can go back and I can review. A lot of times I'll review 50 hours of news a day. So,
wow. Wow. I mean, so this is what you do.
It's, you know, when YouTube first came about, I looked at it for about 6 months because I didn't think it was going to last. I seen so many, you're talking about video on the internet. I seen so many of these video sites come and go, you know, that I was like, I was asking my friends who, you know, knew, understood the internet better than me, you know, if this one was going to last. And they're like, I don't know. So I finally started posting on it, and you know, it seemed like a really good setup. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Well,
there,
no, but this is, you know, you have all these videos and you're putting them up, and I'm wondering, you know, when you start putting them up on YouTube and you commit to that, you saw the evolution of it being pretty open and kind of an activist and let's go kick ass, and it evolved into this thing. You know what? Well, tell us what you saw.
Is that what I saw on YouTube when I first started was that there was a real lack of news being put up. It was, you know, nobody was really on top of the news there.
Skateboarding
and
dogs.
And really, C-SPAN. C-SPAN was just horrible. They've always done a horrible job on YouTube. And so I started with C-SPAN. I was like, all this political, all these politicians making these statements all day long. This is so important to, you know, to how we get to where it is we're at. And, so I started throwing that stuff up, and then, you know, what happened is after Obama was elected, C-SPAN came to me and they said, you can't use the name C-SPAN Junkie. I had C-SPANJunkie.org, the website, and it was quickly becoming a very important cornerstone of the internet. There was it was getting a lot of attention. And then she said, I think what they saw was that I was getting more views on their videos than they were getting. And I told them, you know, the vice president of C-SPAN contacted me and said, you know, you can't use that name. We created the name C-SPAN Junkie in the 70s and you can't use it. And I said, well,
Junkie? They had C-SPAN Junkie or just C-SPAN?
C-SPAN, but they said that they created the name C-SPAN Junkie and that I wasn't allowed to use it.
C-SPAN Junkie. Wait. They created the name C-SPAN Junkie.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Well, I say they're, you know, prove it, liar. I mean, now what?
Well, you know, I said, well, you know, this is just a huge fan page that only, you know, we put out a couple hours of you guys video a day. You guys are doing 20, 30 hours of video a day. If people like what they see, they'll just go there. It's, you know, and he said, no, you can't use the name C-SPAN Junkie. Not only can't use the name C-SPAN Junkie, they said you can't use the name B-SPAN Junkie or Z-SPAN Junkie or D-SPAN Junkie or G-SPAN Junkie. At which point I said, okay, well, I guess I'm going to need, you know, a couple weeks to get a new website in place. And he said, that's fine. And then I went to the EFF and I said, hey, C-SPAN is telling me I can't use the name C-SPAN Junkie. And they said, oh, well, usually that's the kind of thing that we would get right on, but we're so busy right now that we really don't have anybody available. But if you want, we can look for a lawyer for you. And I said, that would be great. I said, what do I tell C-SPAN? And they said, well, tell them that you've contacted us and that we're looking for a lawyer for you. So I went back and I said, hey, I'm going to need a little bit of time to get my website in place, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't tell them I was looking for a lawyer. And then when I didn't hear back from EFF for 10 days, I called them back and I said, hey, I haven't heard back from you. And the same person said, oh, were we supposed to be finding someone for you? I was like, yes. And they said, oh, okay, well, we'll try and do that. And then I never heard back from them again. So I was just like, whatever.
Well, did you finally lose that page? I mean, that domain?
Oh, no, I own that domain and I own cspanjunkie.com now, too. I didn't own that before. It was owned by someone else, but now I own them both.
Well, did you, so what did you do? You just tell them, yeah, sue me? I mean,
No, I just stopped posting there because I didn't have an attorney. I mean, I didn't want to get in a big fight with C-SPAN not having an attorney.
I want to get in a big fight with C-SPAN! Let's go!
Attorney!
What? Yeah, you want to do it? Let's do it! This is it! I mean, is he a neon flashing example of what we're talking about or what? Neon flashing example!
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty in Arizona.
You know, seriously, man, you have not had attorneys contact you and evolved into support structure or somebody or something?
I haven't had anybody say, You know, I can never understand why people don't want to just make it so that my videos don't go away anymore. Because that's all I want to do is do the videos. Like you're saying, just leave me alone. Let me do my job, you know?
Okay. This is... And nobody's... Is it because you're difficult to get hold of? Or how did we finally get hold of you? I told Donna that she was having problems for a while. How did she finally get hold of you?
I don't know. Someone who said that they... work with someone wrote me a message and said, hey, these guys want to do an interview with you. And I said, okay.
You know, maybe it was it from any of us or did somebody told you that they wanted to?
It was somebody who said that they work with some news guy named Sam that I recognize his name. I can't think of it now.
Well, I tell you, I've been trying to get hold of you. It may have been a listener or something like that, because I'm like, what the heck? I was calling everybody.
He said that he was like, he worked with someone that you just interviewed and that you told him that you wanted to do an interview with me, and he contacted me, and then I contacted you.
Done. And she got your contact information and everything now, right?
Yeah.
Ah! Okay. If you're willing... You know, it's always, you know, somebody that, you know, wouldn't go to the back of the bus. I mean, you know how this works. It's always that one person or something. Your story is like a documentary needs to be made, okay? There is going to be, someday, it's going to be, you're part of the alternative, anything that's going to be done on, you know, how the revolution was televised, it's going to be a neon flashing example of Michael, all right?
Say that to all the guys, I know.
Bullshit, man. You think I don't, and I know you know too, so don't even start with me, okay? So this is, you've been out there, you know, toiling in your head buried in the television. I don't know how you keep your brain freaking from rotting, but you know,
I mean, stuff is really damaging, dude.
I this is one thing I do always say when someone does this kind of stuff. I go, you know what? It's one less thing I got to do. And I'm going, and this is so, I'm so appreciative that I want to, oh, go to freedomsphoenix.com. I want to show you something.
Can I go take a leak right now?
Please. You got like a minute and a half. Go.
Okay, plenty.
Help get LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies.
Free from your lies. Now look at what I'm doing here. Right here, right here, right here, right here, right here. It's my monthly contribution to moxnews.com. Okay, let's go back here. You go to moxnews.com. One-time donation, $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month. You know what? I'm gonna rip that off, man. I'm gonna do it just like that on my site and do it. Okay. $5, because we do have like PayPal, you know, I get $5 here, $10 there from people, you know, and we're going to start pushing that more because, gosh darn it, we're pretty and people like us and we should do it. Now, Mox News is doing it up there and he's pretty and people like him and you should do it. And I'm doing it. I have never done this before, okay? This is the only time I ever gave a credit card regular donation on a monthly basis was one other time that I started doing $5 a month because I was very, very poor. I'm very poor now. But, you know, it was all I could do to even that. And I just bit the bullet and I gave out my credit card on the internet and everything for who? Antiwar.com when we were in Kosovo. When they first started doing that, I'm going, hell yeah, about freaking time. You know, support wallet voting. That's what I got walletvoting.com, okay? I was wallet voting. And I said, you know, here we go. You know how you wallet vote for Mox News? With your wallet, okay? You go to moxnews.com right freaking not later. Get your butt up there and give them $5 a month. This is 400 million views and tens of thousands of videos. And it's all this stuff from a perspective of someone who's been around a little while and going, man, you want to watch and scan through 30 hours of news a day? You know, all C-SPAN? And then, oh, do you have C-SPAN coming after you? Well, Michael does. Okay. So I want you to feel that you got some fans here, man. I mean, you got to understand that how supportive we are of what you do. And I want you, if you will let us help you, I'm all in, man. I did, because you are exactly the example that I would, even before you, you were the example of what we wanted people to understand was a real threat to this system. And when they first started doing the Tea Party thing, because I'm, the Levolution guy, they wanted me to come speak at the state capitol here. And they had Americans for Prosperity and the Clear Channel stations and congressmen and all that kind of stuff. And I get up and I said, look, I just want to make it clear, I'm not with any of these guys, okay? And I go, you see all these kids out here with these video cameras and their video? Everything you say here about, no, I didn't, like John Shattuck, congressman here that brought back the TARP and, we have all this, expenditure they added on to my grandchildren and everything. And he said, oh, no, I never. I go, seriously? You think these people don't know? And they got video of you saying this right now. Right now. It's forever. It's never going away. And when you run again in 10, they're going to be going, or 12, they're going to be going, this is what you said, this is what you did, this is what you said again, you liar, okay? And I go, from guys like Mox News, and you are never going to get, well, what do they do? Oh, yes, we are, we'll just turn you off. And we go, oh, no, you're not, we're going to make it so you can't. So you can see what a great example you are. I already knew this was going to happen, and when it was someone as open, as someone that has so much, so prolific, someone that people recognize, someone that has the great perspective and enough experience to do this, someone is going to be the Rosa Parks of this kind of thing. And I say, I vote Mox News Michael, okay? So let me help. Are you ready to take it?
I'm always, the only reason I've been able to do this all this time is because of support of the people out there. That's it. The entire time on YouTube, the only way that I've been able to continue is because there's been people behind me saying, never let them make you stop. You just keep going. You make a difference. Please don't ever stop.
Well, this information, what is so essential about YouTube? I mean, why can't you just, promote your site?
Well, again, like I was saying, that when YouTube does this to me, and they, it's difficult to host videos to start with. They cost a lot of money. And when YouTube does this to me and takes down all my pages, I start looking around for where can I post videos. I've tried the Daily Motion. It doesn't work. And they put commercials on everything. So you can't really claim it fair use, even if you're not the one monetizing it. But I went to Live Leaks yesterday. Live Leaks, because people are like, oh, go to Live Leaks. And I've gone to Live Leaks before, and they used to only allow 100 meg upload. And that wasn't big enough for what it was I was doing a lot of the time. So I didn't think that they would work. But I went there yesterday, and I was like, oh, look, they expanded it to where you can upload 2 gigs at a time. So I was like, excellent. So let's upload something. And I uploaded the Minnesota Senate debate with Al Franken. And it took, a little bit longer than I would like to process. That's one of the things about YouTube, is it just goes bam, 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 they got it down. It took about 2 hours for the video to go live on Live Leaks. And a couple minutes after it went live, the video was deleted by them because of copyright. And that video is actually still live on YouTube.
But I thought the Democrats and the Democratic administration, Democrats, all about transparency and the people and stuff.
Like I said, I look around and try to find a spot to place the videos, and I don't see anywhere.
Okay.
So I keep coming back to YouTube, even knowing that, it's just...
No, you're targeted. It's over, man. You're done. They're not, hell no. You're neon flashing, poster child for you're not allowed. Okay?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're starting to feel that yet?
Well, again, when people are telling you, never let them make you stop. And, you know, and what I've said all along is that they can't make me stop as long as I have the people's support. So, you know, that's why I have, you know, 5 backup YouTube pages and I'm able to just go and start posting again. Even if they're not going to stick, at least they get out there. And the thing is, it's not just that I post the video. A lot of times when I post a video, there's, I think, probably dozens of people who actually immediately download
Hell
the
yeah.
video.
Hell yeah.
And then
Hell
save
yeah.
that video. And you'll see, it's one of my favorite things is to be watching an anonymous video or like a 9/11 truth video. And all of a sudden, a clip from C-SPAN Junkie pops up or Mox News. And I'm just like, you know, it really makes me feel like,
you're appreciated. You're appreciated. This is, you know, what you're doing. I don't know how you keep your mind from rotting. I watch this stuff. I mean, your overall view of I'll give you this. I gave a speech last Friday at as a progressive radio kind of. They wanted me, you know, a bunch of people gang up on the libertarian. And I do this second year I've done it. I'm like, fine, you want more? You know, let's rock on. And I'm going,
I'm not afraid of you.
Well, it's not that. I don't see them as enemies. I just see them as they didn't watch enough Mox News. And I'm just going, and the point that I was making is I go, look, I mean, honestly, I can say we unplugged our television. I have a Roku. I mean, I watch whatever series I want. I get whatever entertainment I want. I go to the internet. I do whatever. But I haven't seen a single campaign commercial this election season. I'm a talk show host, not one, and don't freaking care, and I'm going on vacation next week, be gone a couple weeks, and I'm going to be able to say I didn't see a freaking one, okay?
Nice.
So I'm going, and my brain is doing much better, thank you. I got to ask you, man, this has to affect your mind in some way, watching all their programming, because it's programming.
You know, I saw a news story on Al Jazeera a month ago or so, and they were saying watching a lot of news can be very damaging to your health.
Oh, you're screwed, man. You're terminally ill or something.
I eat a lot of marijuana, so I figure that helps.
Yeah, I have not a doubt in my mind. You know, the medication for all this, ew, marijuana. Okay, so that, what state do you live in?
Washington.
Washington State?
Yeah, Seattle. I'm going
to Washington Wednesday. I'm going to be there for a week.
Oh, you should definitely give me a ring. I make legendary brownies.
Oh, we're at, you know, we'll see. You know, and Michael Nystrom just moved to Seattle. You know, so it's from Daily Paul. We're not done. Go to the archive, and we're going to talk some more. You know, my new best friend, okay? This is what I want to help, and there's a lot of ways we can help, and I'll talk to you about it here in a little bit. But we're not done. Now, this is just the announcement of we're so freaking not done. I'll bring it on! Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on! Because this is about bring it on! You know, I'm, woo! Oh, can you feel me? Here we go. Sons of bitches. They have no idea the hornet's nest they stirred. I'm just like, ew. Okay, so they're probably for sure and for certain you're not welcome. I get the impression you're putting it up anywhere on the internet. You got a tag on you, man. The man is like, hell no. You know, no matter where you go, you feel it?
It's entirely possible. You said I'm on the list. I've known that I've been on the list for a long time.
Yeah, if you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. It's safer there. I mean, this is, you know, I'm like, everybody's going, Ernie, are you able? I go, you're on the list. I go, you damn Skippy, I'm on the list. I'm going to try and stay on top. That's where it's safest. So we want to keep you on top of the list. And certainly in the mind of the people. So I'm going, which really what counts anyway. So this is what I want to do. Now, Donna? Now that's my next guest trying to. Yeah. It's Alma. Call or tell. We'll call her when we're ready. Okay. This is. Okay. I don't even know if you can do two or not. No, I'm not. Call her because she's annoying me. The what I want to do is go to freedomsphoenix.com. On the left-hand side, you'll scroll down. It says in red, you know, the free daily newsletter and all that kind of crap. And then it says Marketplace and Funding Center. Or you can just do a search on Freedoms Phoenix Funding Center.
Okay. Okay. Funding Center, Freedom Phoenix.
Okay. Now, you'll see there's a Larkin Rose thing, James Babb from Philadelphia, and Tragedy and Hope. You know who Tragedy and Hope is, these guys?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. But anyway, the point is that we have the capacity to put up projects for funding. All right. I don't get a cut. I don't get a percentage. I don't even see. I don't care. All right. It's just there to help people just like you. All right. Now,
okay.
What I want to do is the funding center. We don't even really have to even do it. Since you already have it kind of set up on your site, we can just pimp it to your site. You know, just go there because I don't care. But the thing is that there is an ability for us to do this project. And you're the example of it. I can have these guys contact you to set you up as one of the first people. And it'd be in their interest because you're such a large example of this and have so many subscribers and so on that they go, and they're forever. This is the rhetoric. Our videos now are stored in such a way that they are forever distributed on the internet and can never be censored. Here we go.
Can they be embedded?
I don't know. That's a good question. Probably. I had them send me a HD quality documentary. It was, I don't know, salmon being eaten by birds, sharks, whales, and dolphins. I mean, you know, it was just a, you know, some thing. And they did this example. They go, yes, have Mox News, you know, content. We'll work it out. And this is what it looks like. So it's an embedded player that you have with a file that comes up. So embedding in, I'm not sure. I bet you it's a goal. I mean, I didn't even ask. I should check.
That's how they get shared, you know?
Yeah, no, I'm hip. So,
and you're going to be in Seattle next week?
No, I'm northeast of Northport, so it's kind of near the Canadian border, northeastern. So I'm not like close. But I mean, if you know, if you're willing to drive a couple hours one way, I'll do the other just to say yo, what's up. You know, we'll see what happens. We're visiting with friends, but.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm not trying to squeeze.
What I'm thinking is that I was going to make the effort to go to Seattle or try and do the same thing with Michael Nystrom, but his wife is visiting because he's moving from Boston and she's coming out to visit at that time. And I'm not sure she'd appreciate, you know, him dragging, going, doing this. But if I can, you know, that would be awesome if Michael and you and I got to just say, hey, and break bread. That would be awesome.
I'd love to meet him. He's donated for years to the page.
Oh, he's a big fan, I know. So this is, you know, keep doing what you're doing. Don't worry about us. I just want to keep you in the loop, okay, as we do this. It's not that you really got to do anything other than just load, you know, somewhere, take these files, and we might be able to help you with that because it's, you know, a lot of, you know, gigs and gigs and gigs. But it's just, if you are willing to do this, it's to the benefit of these other companies that are doing this for just this reason to work with you because you're such a good example of what they're doing, in my opinion, because it's distributed. See, there's nothing that they can do to stop it. They can't go to somewhere and say, take that down. And it's,
yeah, if I can find a spot that's like that, where again, the files can be embedded onto web pages all over the internet, that's all I need. All I need is to know, you know, that the stuff is safe and that I can have all the space I need and all the video views that I can disseminate.
No limits, no takedowns. Yeah. Hold on a second. No limits, no takedowns, okay? This is what we're looking for. Okay, I'll give you an example. When they did Checkpoint USA, it's a good friend of mine, a libertarian, University of Arizona, Skywatch, Spacewatch. He goes to Kitt Peak. He's looking for the asteroids. He's going to kill us, okay? I say leave the boy alone, all right? But as he goes, you know, back and forth on the Native American reservation down there, what happens is they stop him, and they got their alphabet soups of everybody, you know, who are you, and can I look, and all that kind of crap. This was December of 2002. I just started radio in February of 03. So I'm going, okay, we started, you know, pumping all the information that he had and so on, and then this YouTube thing came. He starts putting all the videos up. The union for the Border Patrol, which I didn't know there was one, they tried to get him fired. They tried to get all his videos taken down. I go, oh, yeah, son of a bitch, I got servers. And we can at least have it loaded up on our server and have a file and download and play something. So we took all his videos and put them on our server and say, yeah, son of a bitch, what are you going to do now? And they're like, eh, damn it. So he got the channel back and it got in suit. Lawsuit goes all the way, long story, but he goes all the way to the Ninth Circuit, gets $250,000, okay? Takes that money and then, you know, going beating him over the head with it. So I'm just going, all right. My thing is I understand from a long time ago that this is exactly what was going to happen, because this Lovolution and your perspective and everything that you have cannot be allowed to continue on the internet and then be able to justify and brainwash us into a forever war. And you uncovered in that one video, yep, this is where we're going. Yep, that's where they're going. And that's where they want to go, and they'll do everything they can to shut you the fuck up. Okay, so I need to do what I can to make sure that doesn't happen, because I don't have tens of thousands of hours of, and you do, on the stuff that I love your work. So I'm going, all right.
Thank you.
We want to save, okay? I got to get my next guest, but this isn't over. It may be a couple of weeks before I get back to you, but we've already been working behind the scenes, and a whole bunch of stuff's going on right not later. You feel me?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Is Alma on the line here?
No. Brian is on the phone and
Alma's
going to be on.
All right. I got to go, man. I'm already late into my show. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks a bunch.
You bet. Bye.
Prepared for it. We must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh! Did they get me going? They get me going. We're going to get going. We got a whole bunch of going today because we're going. I'm just like, you know, rare. And who's a perfect person to talk to this to about with this? Ms. Alma Summer. Ms. Alma. Alma, do I got you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Hello. How are you?
Great.
Okay. We're going to be talking about, let me tell you who I just had on. Have you been listening to the show?
Yep, I listened to the whole first hour.
I mean, you know, hell yeah. Is this exactly neon
cool.
flashing?
I'm surprised you haven't talked to him before now.
You know, this is, well, nobody has. That's his first interview.
No way.
That's first, he's never talked to anybody before.
Wow, you're lucky.
I mean, it's just, damn, you know? And it was hard to get hold of him. And he said the only way that, I don't know how much it went on air, but the only way that he knew to even talk to me was because some listener or something let him know that we're trying to get hold of him or whatever, and he finally contacted Donna. So I'm just going, this is, and you've known Freedom's Phoenix from back in the day. I mean, you from the beginning of all our workshopping in the studios and everything that we've been doing. And have I or have I not been screaming this exact thing that they were eventually going to do this?
What do you mean? Do what?
Take down videos of all this kind of you're not allowed to post and criticize the man.
I do that all the time. People tell me all the time that YouTube shut their video down. It's not even new. It's been happening since their existence.
You know, this has been, but have a big site, and it's obvious, you know, fair use, and he complies with, and when they go, no, it's because we know. We no.
And that C-SPAN junkie story is pretty funny, that they're like, we own these words, and these words together are ours, and nobody else can own them. It's like so ridiculous. Like, get out of here, people. Who are you?
You use Namecoin. You know, you register the domain there. You go on to...
Yeah, dot bit website.
Yeah, you go to dot bit. You go to dot bite me. You know, this
That's
is...
That's what I'm going to do for... I believe if people want to see pictures of Neo, I think I'm going to do a dot bit website, you know, for with like a password, and people can go in there and see him, whoever wants to. Well, whoever has the top secret password.
Top secret. The, you know, this. We got pictures of you up here, and there's one picture. We're going to go back to it. Keith just walked in. Here's Keith wearing. He's always wearing his. You know, he loves Hillary or Obama, Biden kind of Democrat thing. You know, Keith. All right, get on the mic.
When's he gonna stop being a statist?
Check.
Yeah, you know, tell. Yeah, answer the question. When are you gonna stop being a statist?
Hey, I want my Social Security check when I'm 65.
Slave, your slave check.
That's right.
Now this is what we're gonna be talking about. You know what we're gonna be talking to Almond about today? You know, Keith's here to help set up the audio and the stage and everything for Jordan Page tonight. Are you coming?
I don't know.
Bring the baby.
Newborn and all. Baby. I don't know. I'll talk to Brian and see. We have we've been having friends come over all week making us meals. Last night Sean D came over and cooked in our kitchen for us. It was awesome. And tonight, Erica and Pete and their kids are going to be coming over to bring us dinner. So we have been nonstop like community building since forever.
Okay, now let me tell Keith what's going on. Alma had her baby like beginning of last week or something, pretty recently.
He was born Friday.
Almost on the Ides of October, my birthday, October 15th.
Oh yeah, pretty close. You're both Libras.
And you kind of look like a baby. You know, the cute and bald. So what happens is he goes like, I just want you to know what's going on. They go to the hospital. They have the baby. Of course, no vaccines. Okay. Then they go, well, you got to fill out, and you get a Social Security card. And no Social Security, no slave numbers, because that's Alma's thing. Here we go to Pork Fest. She's got, you know, no slave numbers for children, whatever kind of stuff. So no Social Security number, no birth certificate. And they're like,
one was the best.
That's the trippy one when I heard it, because the Social Security number, how old were you when you got your Social Security number?
I think I was.
I don't know if you're asking me or Ernie, but I was 5.
I was 16. I had to get it to get my first job.
Yeah.
Okay. But now they're like, oh, I'm sorry. We need to get the branding now iron as you're coming
day
out of the
zero.
Room. I mean, you know.
Day zero. Yeah.
And I tell you, Alma, this is what happened. A friend of mine, he married a woman from the Philippines on purpose. He didn't like American women. Just don't. They don't understand what that. You know, I'm pen piling and I'm going to a Philippine found one. Boom. Now, you know, they have two children that they home birthed. They live on a farm in Missouri. We're talking about Athena, the one that does a lot of our covers and so on.
Yeah.
Self-taught. You met them. You know the guy. You know Greg Nampiece. What happens is that he files as dependents. He does his taxes. Oh my, that was his first problem. So I have dependents. Okay, I filed dependents. And they go, oh, I'm sorry, can't do that anymore unless they have a Social Security number. It didn't used to be like that. So now if you don't do that, you owe us all these back taxes of all these years that you claimed them as dependent because you don't have. So they bribed him and forced him. He had a friend of ours, that's a tax. He goes, just do it. Got it. So he did it. And I'm going, now how do you feel about it? Yeah, whatever. He doesn't give a crap. You know, but to start from the beginning, a lot of the activists, I remember it was Hope was the name, and it was a couple that lived in Apache Junction. He literally is a rocket scientist, okay? Because he wanted to be a rocket scientist. So he works for, I don't know, whatever system out there. Well, what happened was he and his wife had their child. They had her at home, and they went ahead and they just registered it in a, and they're atheists, big time. But they registered it in a family Bible because that counts as a registration of birth. Okay? It's a document. All right? Here in Arizona, at least. So they go, all right. So they did that. No Social Security. No, that, they've been doing that. I think they have 3 kids now. So it can be done. And they did the research. And this is in the 90s. You know, this is, you know, they're like, oh, hell no. We're not doing this. So I'm going, okay. I am of the opinion that by between then and now, it's a lot more pressure. So I want to hear from you, and we'll get in, and when we come back in the next segment, we'll start off with you're at the hospital. Well, you find out you're pregnant, and you go, okay, this is what we're going to do. Now, you lost your first child, you know, and we're all sorry. We were all rooting for you and everything, and, you know, and you miscarried. So we're very sad about that, but you got pregnant again, it stuck, and you got a baby, and you got, and his name is
Neo,
and nobody could guess it. When you had everybody for a week, you go, come on, guess it, and you're disappointed nobody got it.
I can't believe nobody guessed Neo. It's so crazy.
That was awesome. Okay. So we have Neo. It's always the one. There's always the one. See, how many times have I said, you know, it's not us. It's our kids they got to worry about. You know, the generation next, here we go. And any child of Almond Brian, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be Neo. All right. So when we come back, we'll go through the story. You know, now Keith's in the medical industry and everything. He may have some, comments and questions too. But, you know, my thing is that, you know, we'll keep you around another segment. We'll run out.
I got to go to work, man.
Well, I'll go out there and help you.
Get Brian on the phone. He's got to fill in the rest of the birth story.
Oh, okay. So this is, you know, we'll go from the beginning to end. We got the rest of the hour here, and we'll get the whole story of Alma having her baby, you know, and it not be the government's baby. We're gonna register the birth on the blockchain. Yeah, we can do that. They did a marriage. Where has it ever worked before? Where's the anarchy ever happened? Where's the voluntarist? Where's the, you know, it's never. They never met Brian and Alma, okay? So I'm going, all right, we want to walk this through. We're going to have, there's so much stuff going on. And what the bad guys didn't realize is that we have a foundation. We have support. We have people that understand. We have the truth. And we know when they come, you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. Okay, go get more when we come back. I got to run out and help him lift that stage and deal with that. And I'll be right back, Alma.
Okay.
Okay, I didn't know. We got Brian on the other line. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you there. Okay, go ahead and count to five for me, Brian.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Okay, I got to echo. Are you listening to the something else or?
No. I'm sitting on a tractor.
Okay. Where? Tractor? Where?
Yeah. Shea in the 101.
I don't hear an echo. He sounds normal to me.
Yeah, no, it's okay now. Why a tractor? What's up with a tractor?
it's a backhoe. I'm doing some digging.
Ah, okay. All right. So how do you want to do this? We got to tell the story. Where we're going to start the story and how we're going to do the story.
Alma will start. I'll just fill in the blanks for my commentary.
All right. Now, where are we going to start, Alma? You're going to start with, pregnant, okay?
I mean, I'm going to start with Thursday morning when I woke up.
Okay,
so I went into labor.
Okay, so you're going to start from the birth part. Well, I mean, you know, there's, you know, the care. Did you go to the doctor? Did you use a midwife? Did you go fill out the stroke dash form of something, whatever, and register the insurance of, did you even have insurance, or how do you do this?
We had a midwife. We had a midwife, and she was, she was there during the labor at the house and some at the hospital, and then she had to go, and then the story continues on past that, so.
All right. Alma, you should tell the story of the birth certificate with our midwife first.
What do you mean, that she was the male thing?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I would just say that what she was telling us that she asked to submit it no matter what.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So,
all
like,
right.
Per...
I know, we can talk about it when we get on. All right, here we go.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest Liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
I'm not leaving. until Wednesday. So I'm probably going to do a show Monday and Tuesday. I was thinking of taking all next week off, but our flights kind of, you know, and it'd just be too long. And I want to talk about, you know, Prepper Fest this weekend. We built our fifth dome, and we're going to be doing that. And we went in last night. Dean and I went last night and set it up, and today we'll go and do a little bit to put up, you know, a bunch of our banners and everything, and, you know, stamp the event with us. And we'll do that. And we're putting the Aqua Dome in there. We're putting in Leo's quail and rabbits, and just really pimping out the dome. And we call it the Aqua Dome. And it works really well. And once people start to realize, and we made a bunch of, you know, DVD or CDs that has the files and information how to do it and everything. You have donation piece, or we can do this, and you want me to build one, it's like $1 billion. But so we'll see what the interest is, because it's so, all the stuff that people have, you know, where do you store it? Where do you, you know, put your birds, your rabbits, your fish, your plants, and the kind of, and this, and the domes work awesome for that. And you can pimp them out and do whatever because it has a solid frame. Almost some of these pictures up here, you'll see us, you know, where we have our domes out at the different festivals and everything, and selling merchandise, you know, trinkets and trash and whatever. And Alma's been right in the middle of that, you know, for years. So this is, you know, it continues, and we keep adding people. And this Mox News thing, I'm so glad we got to talk to him. I will make an effort. Maybe I can, you know, kind of get hooked up, and we can see if we can visit when I go to Washington. He's in Washington, and if we can get Nystrom together and all of us kind of, you know, plan the saving of the freaking universe, all our cell phones will be tracked with, and here comes the Hellfire missile. So what we're going to do is just keep following this, but it manifests into examples, you know, of people just freeing their minds, and certainly not enslaving the next generation. And that was the only thing that really, you know, the phrase and the QR code and the idea, you know, that sparked a lot of our QR code activism was when Alma said, silly status, taxes are for slaves. And we go, wow, we can, you put that on a gas pump with a QR code, and you got nothing to do for 3 minutes. Guess what? You're scanning. Okay? So we did this, and we had a lot of fun with this, and we should continue to do these kinds of things. But her mindset was, you don't give slave numbers to your children. Well, then she has a child. That's all fine and good until you're the one sitting there, and, you know, somebody in the lab coat sitting looking at you going, you gotta. Okay? So let's start the story off, Alma. Go ahead and help me out, you know, how this transpired with the birth.
Okay, so we decided that we wanted to have a home birth and do everything naturally, so we got a midwife, and our friend Gwen is training under her, so I knew that she would be there the whole time as well, and I really liked that idea. So we've been seeing her, you know, every week up until I went into labor, and this was, so last Thursday, I had woken up at like 4 o'clock in the morning because I was on Brian's early morning schedule, went all day, you know, wide awake, no nap or anything. And then come 6 o'clock, my water broke. So before I even had any contractions or anything like that, my water broke. And very shortly after that, I started having contractions like 3 minutes apart. So it seemed like things were moving along really quickly. But I was completely wrong. When my water broke, he had been in this like weird head down position, like maybe with his head turned a little bit. So when my water broke, he basically got stuck right where he was. So I didn't know this at the time, but I was, you know, in it for the long haul. So I labored for 14 hours at home. You know, I was walking and getting in the tub and getting in the shower and on the bed and on the floor. And at one point,
jumping jacks,
they just became very like erratic. Like some of them would be close together, some of them were far apart. And after 14 hours of laboring at home, and my water have been broke already, we made the decision to go to Mercy Gilbert. And we had already planned that if, you know, anything were to just like not be the way it should be, that that's where we were going to go. So we get in the car and we go there, and my midwife and Gwen and Jessica and my mom and my sister and Brian, of course, everyone, they all came with us. And
so Gwen Stremick was there?
Yeah, Gwen.
Okay, now Gwen Stremick, Gwen and Andrew, other activists, you know, good friends, you know, in her 20s. Probably Andrew may be over 30 now, but she's studying to be a midwife. I've been doing that for years. And she helped with my daughter's birth or with Elin, too. So this, it's great to have one of us in there, but she wasn't the primary on this. She just kind of, you know, hepping.
Yeah, they did a lot of work equally. Most of our meetings with Pam and Gwen did a lot of the talking since she's training. So it was almost primarily Gwen doing a lot of the work and Pam there just to train her and, you know, for support. And also when it came down to it, like Pam was doing a lot of the checking on me and stuff. And, you know, Gwen constantly kept checking on the baby's heartbeat and stuff like that. So, and he was fine. Like his heart rate was fine. His heart, everything sounded okay. The whole labor, he was still doing okay. And then, we get to the hospital and they hook me up to monitors and I opted for an epidural because at this point I had been through so much
pain. The pain, you got to rest. Yeah. You don't, yeah, whatever. Epidural is like miracle medicine.
Yeah, I had slept in almost 16 hours or something like that.
Yeah. So. You're all, oh, you got to go natural and all that guy until you get the epidural and you get on, you know, this is good.
So the epidural was like the most amazing thing ever.
I know. I'm telling you, all the women, they want to go be all natural and everything until they get that, you know, the 20 hours of, and they do the epidural and they're like, oh, hell yeah. Okay. So anyway, well, so we,
if he had been in the correct position to where my cervix was going to continue, you know, opening up, it had basically gotten stuck at 8.
Okay, let's skip to the end, man. I want to get to. Okay, you go in and okay, you're okay. And then doing
so,
what?
While I'm on the epidural, I make a funny joke about how am I going to be forced to fill out a birth certificate while I'm here? And Pam, my midwife, just looks at me and she's like, "Alma, come on." And I don't know what it was about that statement, but it sent like, you know, bells ringing to somebody who heard me say it, and they went and told a social worker about my statement. And also I had denied these like state suggested testing for hepatitis and metabolic things and stuff that I can get tested, you know, I can do later if I see the need to.
No, they just want a DNA sample. All right. So
I'm sure they got what they wanted after everything we went through, but if that's what they're looking for. So, and they put this big peanut, you know, between my legs to see if they can get him to move. And I rest for like 4 hours and nothing happens. So I basically wake up and they say, okay, well, you know, we're going to switch your sides, but we're going to give you the option of taking Pitocin, which would send me back into labor and try to, you know, make things move along. Or you can have a C-section. They gave me both options. They didn't pressure me. This was like the best hospital for the worst experience you could go through. And at that time,
yep, see, you're taking too long. Nah. We gotta get to it. When we get back, you know, she's got a segment to skip to the end and go through. But, you know, they want to tell the story and we want to hear it. But, you know, we'll get more in the archive.
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty in Arizona.
Yeah. You got to whip to it, man.
It's a long story, dude.
So,
it was
why?
Like 4 days.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. You want me to have Brian tell it? Brian knows what I'm talking about. You gonna help me out, Brian?
I can help you out. You got to you gotta say the infection part, babe. You had an infection. That's why you had to go get a C-section.
Yeah, because they had already put me on antibiotics.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. You had your chance. When we come back, Brian's going to tell the story, and then you can fill in the gaps.
Okay, sure. Right.
So when we come back, Brian, be ready to, you know, just, you know, from your perspective, walking it through and go and kind of, you know, skip to the end, and then we'll have Alma kind of fill in or whatever. But, yeah, I want to – we only got two more segments in this next segment. I want to get the main stuff out, and then in the last segment, then Alma can talk about in the future and kind of whatever and the middle name and everything.
We need to talk about Nurse Betty and the social worker conversation.
Yeah,
those
of course.
Have to be talked about.
Of course.
Yeah. I want to talk about, so what was that lady, the registrar of baby certificate person?
Yeah, that'll be part of the social worker conversation.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah. Brian's going to do it.
Brian, stop blah, blah, blah. Brian, you should tell the Nurse Betty conversation or story. Because
no, he's going to tell everything, and then you're going to fill in.
We'll tell the Nurse Betty conversation at the end. We'll go through straight to the point, and then if there's still time, then we'll go for that.
Yeah, no, I want to get everything, and you're going to have 10 minutes to do it, you know, or like 8 minutes, you know. So, you know, we got it. Just live radio, man, rock and roll. So we'll go ahead, when we come back, Brian, go ahead and help me out and get the whole story out, and then we'll get in and we can relax. But I need to get the facts and the story out. You know, let's do that, because it'll slip by, and it won't be on the air. You won't have it. It won't be done.
All right. So I wanted 2 hours.
Well, you were going to have to wait until freaking 3 weeks from now, because I'm gone for, you know, this is the only time we had.
I know.
I wanted to do it. But I didn't know that I was going to be off Monday. I mean, I didn't know I was still going to do a show Monday and Tuesday, because I thought we were going to be gone and we were not leaving until Wednesday. So we're going to go ahead, but we're going to be doing a lot of Prepper Fest stuff, because I got to fill, you know, I'm going to go ahead and come on and give up my total grandkid day, you know, and do this. But, yeah, so when I had the grandkids come on Mondays, that's why I try and take off. And if I'm here and got to do the show, I got to hurry up and get everything done before they get here, and I never make it. And then they're in, and you're, Grandpa, come play with us. You know, we got to go do something. So the, and that's cool, because we got this dome thing done. We're ready. The only thing we got left now is Libertopia. And I can go out and work on their playhouse. It's not 5 trillion degrees. I tell you, yesterday, it was hot, Brian. What was up with that? How hot was it yesterday?
It's like 94, but I mean, it's like, you know, I was out in the field digging all day, so I feel your pain.
I was going, what the heck? I don't want to be digging. I can tell you that, you know.
Well, I'm always sitting on a diesel tractor burning my butt off, but...
Well, at least you're not with a shovel.
Oh, I still do that, too. It doesn't matter.
So, Brian, you want to start with the register coming to get the birth certificate?
No, you can start with whatever he wants to start with. You had your chance.
I'm just going to say, okay, so we have the baby. We're in our room. The register lady comes in and says, all right, you guys need to fill this birth certificate out.
Okay, well, to start with the why you had to do a C-section. You had the option, and you got a fever. So we'll start off with that, and then so we know what we're doing there. Because recovery from a C, Donna had 2 C's and then 2 vaginal. And the C-section was simple and easy, you know, for us. I mean, it's just like, you know, boom, 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 done. But the thing was, is that I got picked. Man, that's pretty traumatic surgery. I mean, you're cutting your wife in half. I mean, you know, damn. But the... But when they go vaginally, they come out as a sausage. They didn't prepare me for that, okay? I'm going, damn, this is different. All right, here we go.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
I'll tell you, one of the best ways you can do that is, it goes like this. I declare my independence. Don't need a government form or filling them out for your kids. Don't be an enslaver. The parents, enslavers. And if you really believe that, I mean, you got to go through it. So let's go ahead and go to Brian, okay? Now, you know, Alma, she'll go. I love to talk to her. And if I known that I was going to be in town Monday and Tuesday, which we're going to have a lot of the prepper guys, you know, that we meet this weekend, now come on, we'll fill that up. I would have scheduled Alma for 2 5-hour and whatever. But this is the first chance that we had, because we're going. It could be 3 weeks before we get this story. No, I want to do it now. So to get it all now, we got to talk to Brian. Brian, start us off, man. Go.
All right, so basically, she had to go get a C-section because she had an infection. So we go get the C-section, and we have the baby, and we're in the room after everything's all said and done, and the registrar of birth certificate lady comes in and says, hey, I need you to fill this birth certificate stuff out. And Alma goes, do we have to? Deer in the headlight look. Just like, I've never had anyone say they didn't want to fill out a birth certificate. And we start asking her all these questions. She has no clue what the answers are. So she's like, I'll get back to you. And she leaves for like, I don't know, half an hour. And then the social worker comes in right after I leave. And Alma tells her, hold on, I got to wait for my boyfriend to get back so that we can ask questions. She doesn't care. She starts asking Alma all these questions. And
they plan to wait for the dad to leave, I found out later, which I should have thought of myself. They plan to wait for you to leave to come in. They do it on purpose.
Which is the total wrong thing to do, because usually the dad's the third one, In this case, it's actually you. So I know. They really cornered themselves.
Yeah, they had no idea what they were up against.
Yeah, she was like, oops, wrong choice on that one.
Okay, so then they, what did they say, Alma?
Tammy was the social worker, and you know, she was well educated. She understood my viewpoint that it was different from hers, but she also believed fully that if taxation did not exist, that basically nothing would exist. And I informed her that, sure, you know, I understand you support the state because it pays your job. Taxes paid for your job, but you could always work for a non-governmental agency or a charity or something like that. And she mentioned, you know, she has homestead friends and whatever, but she asked me questions like, do you have a car seat? Do you have a support system? She's like, well, I'm just here to give you all this information. And she gave me a bunch of paperwork on, like, you know, whatever, where I can get help if I need it as a mother. And some of it was state, some of it was private, but mostly from the state. And I also told her, you know, she asked me if, what about WIC or what's the insurance? I forget.
Access.
And I said, you know, I don't support stealing from other people to give to myself. Like, come on. It's
okay,
just as simple as that.
All right, skip to the end. Okay,
so she didn't have any answers about the birth certificate either. When I asked her, because I know that the hospital has a state regulation that they have to send in paperwork, but there's no law about me having to sign any kind of forms. So the register ends up coming back after the social worker leaves. Who knows if she created a case number or not, and they'll be trying to find us or hunt us down.
Oh, no, there's a card. Some got filled out. Yeah.
And basically, she brought a birth certificate back that she had filled out some information on. And she's like, I just need you to initial this. And Alma's like, well, do I have to? And
she wanted me to sign that I refused to put in certain information. Can you sign here that you refuse to write this and you refuse to write this? And I'm like, that is a legal document that you're going to be sending to the state. I will not sign that because I'm not signing any legal documents for the state. And then she went back to her lady again, and then she came back. She's like, well, can you initial that you refuse to write?
No.
And I'm like, wow, you guys are really stretching it. I'm like, look, if you are forced by the government to send in some kind of filled out form, then you can send in some kind of filled out form, but I am not signing it. I'm not initialing it. It's a legal document, and I am not doing it if I do not have to.
Well, did they bring out a gun that says you have to? I mean, you know.
It got close.
I mean, she was like, wow, like she, the registrar woman was really cool. And she was like along for the ride just to see how things went.
When you say registrar woman, who's that? Represented the hospital?
Yeah, she works for the hospital.
Okay, so now you have a government agent, a social worker for the government there to make sure everybody's paperwork gets done up and you're not filling out paperwork. And her response is what?
Well, that was Tammy. Tammy was a social worker, and she did not say anything about the birth certificate because she didn't work for the hospital. Well, she worked for the hospital, but she works there as a social worker, not anything to do with the birth certificate paperwork. The registrar woman, I forget what her name was, she's a different woman, was the one coming from the hospital to try and get me to fill out the form. And she was the one having to go back and forth to her boss, asking them what she should do next. And she definitely had, like, good spirits about the whole thing and was very intrigued.
She was getting educated. She's like, okay, we'll learn something.
Yeah, she was, you know, she was down for the ride, and she was, you know, intrigued to see how it went. And in the end, I did not sign any of that birth certificate paperwork, because they give you this paper and then they say, oh, it's going to be sent to the state digitally. And I'm like, well, I'm still not signing that form because it's a legal document. I'm not initialing it. I'm not signing it. None of that stuff.
And so they're like, okay, we tried. I mean, what? Or we're holding hostage. We handcuffed your baby to his crib. I mean, what?
He was low-jacked like the second he came out. Are you kidding?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, did your baby stay in the room with you?
The whole time. And then when he wasn't, there was one day where he ended up going to nursery because the nurse came to check on him and his heart rate kept dropping. And there's a whole story about Nurse Betty. We are naming her because she bent some rules for us that helped us take care of him better than we could have without that help. So we can talk about that in the last segment. But the bottom line is that we did not get him a slave number or a birth certificate. And I spoke to the midwife the very last day, the one that was assigned to me once I got there. Her name was Melissa, and she was great. And she is willing to sign a affidavit of birth. And I spoke to Morpheus about taking it further than just the signed affidavit of birth. And he said to get it ampostilled after that. And
whatever
then after that, he says to record it with the county or file it with the county. And the last thing he said to do is publish it in the newspaper. And basically at that point, it becomes his identification and he is able to use it anywhere.
You know, this is it's interesting to have. You know, I got some people, some friends that did this 15 years ago. God, their kids probably teenagers now. And so I'm going to. And they're out in the East Valley. Are you willing to meet with them just to talk about their experiences with their kids and as they get older and all the, because they did this back then?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. We should do that. You know, I'll go ahead and set that up today. I'll have Donna call. She's out there helping Keith. And I'm going to go ahead and have her, let me write that down. Because I'm very interested in how this goes, but the activists have been doing this, you know, before. So it's be good to know, you know, did they ever have to? Or they, all right, we did this vaccination. All right, we did this, you know, paperwork. All right, we did. And I doubt they're not the guys to kind of do that, you know. And so we'll see what's happened, because I stay in touch with them every now and then. I'll check on that. But so now you're going to be doing what with the child? And I'm wondering, you know, when Neo gets older, it may be more common. It may be, you know, he's Neo. He's the trailblazer. He's the, you know, I mean, that's kind of in your mind anyway, isn't it?
Absolutely. He's the one. He frees everyone from the Matrix.
He's the one. And he didn't get plugged in with his mom sticking it in the back of his head. You know, so this is awesome. I'm glad you guys did this. Now we got time. When we come back with the next segment, we can go ahead and get in some of the little flavor of it and so on. So it really wasn't that traumatic, right? I mean, it was
Oh, no. The traumatic is coming up.
Oh! Traumatic! Drama! Sit on the edge. Woo! Go get some drama. That's good. That's good. I was hoping there was no drama. No drama? Okay, we're going to have drama. All right. Well, you know, hopefully the drama isn't, you know, like a paperwork, you know, stapled to, you know, the kid's forehead or anything. You know, so we're looking forward to seeing Neo as soon as we can. You know, you bring him out or we get out there or do something. A lot of guys have been visiting. We've been really busy getting ready for this Pepperfest thing. But I'm wanting to have Alma, one of my favorite people, on to tell us about it.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations?
Yes, I am. Okay, what we're going to go ahead and do is I got to run out there and help them a little bit, and then I'll be right back. And then what do you think you want to share that we haven't done yet in this final segment?
Well, the part about us both having infections and what Brian had to go through with them trying to give Neo an IV instead of just some shots, and the dehydration and the formula thing and the breast milk thing. It's just it's the same story, so... a nurse Betty who broke some rules and helped us, and that was a traumatic part for the infections that we both had coming out of it.
Oh yeah, it usually happens when you have the water break early like that, and you go a long time. That's one thing. Once the water breaks, man, then you're like exposed, and it's rock and roll. You know, so I've been through enough. I get it. But the thing is that the cesarean. That's going to be some recovery. You know, Brian's like making his own breakfast. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he made a pita breakfast this morning.
So this is, I know Donna went through, it was weeks, you know, before she got back to full, you know, and then, you know, it's a thing. And when we had them vaginally, you know, we had a really good nurse on Corsair, the third child, and she's like, well, do you want to try and go vaginally? I'll work with it. I go, yeah, I mean, if we can, you know, and 'cause her pelvis is turned. It was just funky way. It's just more difficult for her. So she worked it, came back in about every 10 minutes. She probably worked with other people, really cool, kind of, you know, working the cervix, doing it kind of, and all of a sudden, then Corsair came out. And now I understand. They always say, oh, the head is the biggest. I don't know. Shoulders look pretty wide to me.
Yeah.
Your clavicle, your shoulders collapse, and you come out like a pointy-headed sausage. And all of the classes you go to and all the stuff that you do, they never showed that. It was always the baby come, oh, see the baby, you know, and it never prepared me for a sausage. I'm like, holy crap, is that normal? You know,
Jimmy Dean.
Get a freaking hat on that kid's head. I mean, damn, you know.
He had a pointy head anyway because of the way he was stuck inside me.
Ah, see? You know, I mean, it's a pointy head thing, and I'm going, holy crap, give that kid a day, man, before we take some pictures. But the so it was a surprise to me. And then Sierra, when we had Sierra, Rhea was, I think, 4 and Forrest 3, and they sat there in a rocking chair and watched their baby sister be born.
That's cool.
And then we took them out and laid it in their both of their laps right when the baby was born. That was awesome, you know. So we've always done this in the room thing. I didn't like it going, no. And we didn't do vaccinations. And this was mid-80s, you know. I don't think we did. I don't remember. They didn't have as many back then either. Maybe we did. I don't even remember. But we haven't for any of the grandkids. And we never went back for all this extra, you got to keep doing it, pumping them with crap. I just like, no, they got their shot. We're good. You know?
They gave us a vaccination card at the very end of our the last day we were there, and it's all empty.
You know, the one thing that really kind of angered me is they got this thing down. They when the social worker or the nurses or whatever, and they come in, it's always right when you're in contraction, and they put a clipboard in front of you, here, sign here, and yeah, whatever, and they just, you know, just whiz through signing, and they didn't, and they're like, hey, well, you got it. And Corsair was taking pictures of all the documents, putting refused or waived or whatever, and he would take pictures of all of them, and I'm going, and they were, and Laura, her mom was a baby nurse. Now, she worked there at the hospital where she did it, and she, you know, delivered 2 of the children. So I'm just going, okay, and then she passed away. But all right, here we go.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Wow! Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
So good! So good! I got all my bride on the line! Yeah, James Brown! Yeah, we're the same! We can demonstrate our excitement about stuff. You know, this is really, really, really good for the Liberty community to see an example of someone like Alma that's been preaching this for many years at a lot of festivals. I mean, it's Libertopia, it's Freedom Summit, it's Pork Fest, it's Jackalope Freedom Festival that, you know, she's the main instrument behind Wind Beneath Our Wings kind of thing, okay? So this is, you know, I'm but there's more to this story. I mean, we have, you know, let's go to Brian. Brian, help me out here. You know, the what happened was is Alma had, and if when you break the water and you're there for like a day, you know, with a broken water, all of a sudden you start having an infection thing. And then you get, you know, Alma's temperature starts going up. They're starting to have concerns. You know, the baby's, you know, temperature. It's time to, we need to get this going. So did the cesarean, baby comes out. And then you got the other stuff. You know, it's feeding the baby. It's, some social worker and how, and let's squeeze on your breasts and make sure and kind of we want to touch and feel and sign here. And, you know, and what role did you play during all that?
I just kind of sat back and watched him get yelled at by Alma.
What are you talking about specifically?
Ernie?
No, I'm waiting on you. Tell me the story of all the stuff, man. Let's go.
Oh, just like when they would come in when I wasn't there. And then and they said that, you know, that was a great idea because Dad's not there and he won't say anything. But Mom's the one you got to look out for because she's got all the information and she knows about it, all that stuff. And boy, they have their hands full.
I really thought that the only way I would be able to get out of having a birth certificate or social, I know you can deny finally, but was having an unassisted birth. So the fact that we went to the hospital and had this experience, which if anyone has to have a baby at a hospital, Mercy Gilbert is by far the best hospital, I mean, I've ever been to. Absolutely. And what is really hard is when you do start nursing, they bring in those pumps and they want you to pump in between feedings and things like that. And in the very beginning, your baby's hungry. You're barely producing enough to feed him. And so one of the things that happened at one point was his heart rate had dropped and they wanted to take him into nursery. So they take him to nursery to monitor his heart and put him under a heater. And the nurse, and at that point I was exhausted. So I had taken, I said, told Brian, go with him. I'm going to take a nap. And so Brian goes with him. And while he's in there, they fear monger him a little bit, saying, oh, maybe it's just dehydration. We want to give him formula. And I made it very clear to Brian, even though I'm barely producing anything at this point, that if he's hungry, come and get me. But that didn't happen. And I got really emotional about the whole thing, like hormones blazing, like crying like crazy mom, like, how dare you give my kid GMO Monsanto, like in his first 2 days of life. And you know, Brian didn't understand, like, at that point what the ingredients were in this formula until after the fact, where it freaked out and he went and looked it up and, you know, dealt with it from there.
Brian.
Yeah. Well, you know, at that point, you know, I'm running on like 4 hours of sleep in the last like 40 hours. And my kids, like, they're telling me, oh, he's going to die. And, you know, all this stuff. So I'm just like, oh, my God. Okay, whatever. Whatever you need.
Yeah,
I know. I fell for it.
You know,
so one of my, what happened was, is a friend of mine had come to visit and she's currently breastfeeding. And I was like, you know, I would rather give my kid some other woman's breast milk, especially if I know somewhat of what her diet is like, than any formula. And so Nurse Betty was able to tell me, well, if you give us any milk and you tell us it's yours, then we will put it in the fridge for you. And she had spoke to the pediatrician in the, like, hospital policy. You can't, like, take someone else's breast milk and give it to another baby or whatever. But she said, you know, as long as you say it's yours, then there's nothing we can do about it. And I was awarded some labels and some bottles, and I was able to get some of my friend's breast milk and divide it up into like 10 milliliter containers. And it was my breast milk, and put it in the fridge. And that night was the last night we were in the hospital, and I was able to keep him hydrated, if that was the issue, because they ended up doing an EKG, which came back normal, so they brought him back to the room, and that night, he slept on my chest all night long. I was not even putting him in that stupid little bassinet thing. The nurse didn't like it very much, but I'm like, look, I'm not going to roll over on my kid. I had pillows stuck up on the sides, and it was a hot, sweaty mess, but we made it through the night, and the next day, he was, like, much better. So, and the breast milk that I got literally saved me from either having to pump or not being able to feed enough. And it was the most amazing thing.
Okay, now wait. Your breast milk, what'd you do? You have Brian wander up and down the halls milking mothers? I mean, how did this go?
No, a friend that's currently breastfeeding stopped by the hospital to see us and offered.
Okay. Awesome. Well, that's good. You know, Gwen, She had very premature, her baby, and Jaron is doing awesome. And it's only because she went there every day for hours to make sure they got her breast milk. She was producing a gallon to a gallon and a half a day.
Oh, my gosh.
It was amazing. She's a goat, okay? And she's built like you. I mean, she's just, you know, people see in the pictures. I mean, that, you know, Gwen would, you know, is pretty much, you know, the young, beautiful, 20-something-year-old healthy woman, you know. And what happened was she had so much milk frozen, she gave it away on Craigslist. There are people that, you know, begging for, just like you, that needs breast milk. They wanted to, they get, you know, they called them wet nurses. I mean, heck, they would have, in the South, slave women that would breastfeed all the plantation owners' kids, you know? So I'm going, wow, this is, you know, that's a valuable thing. So what happened was she put it out on Craigslist, and boom, gone. Everybody was needing the breast milk. So I'm wondering if that's a business, you know?
Absolutely. It's a business. Total business. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, you found that out already, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, I mean, and then, well, then what sucks is they make you pump in between feeding, so you go home. If you don't have a pump, you're screwed. You better have that pump ready, because one night without pumping and you're, like, going to be in trouble.
No. I know Donna, man. It was, like, you know, really tight. tight watermelons. You know, it was like, damn, you better get this milking. Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, Sierra just had her baby, Jude. He's only a month old or so. And she's, you know, major pumping, you know, work. It's, you know, some people produce a lot, and both my daughters, they don't really produce that much. You know, my daughter-in-law, too, they're not as lucky. How are you doing? Are you able to produce enough to keep Neo supplied?
Oh, yeah, now I am, because they like, literally get your body ramped up while you're there, and then you come home and you have to pump. I mean, I have no issues now. I actually have to regulate how often I pump so that I don't fill up so fast or fill up so much and then constantly have to do it. So I try to only pump, like, 3 times a day, maybe, you know, somewhere around there.
All right, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, and in case you haven't already, Brian, it's really, you know, thicky sweet. You don't even, you know, that I didn't get anything out of it. But the thing, in case you don't already know. So the one thing that I wanted to kind of ask you, did they promise a visit? I mean, are you on a list? Are they going to, you know, is this over or what?
I have no idea, like, about the social worker stuff, if that's over, but, I mean, as far as the hospital checking in on us, we gave them permission to call us and check in on us in a couple of days, which I don't even think I've heard from them yet, so, but now we're just going to pick a good homeopathic. I think we're going to go with Anne Marie. She's, a lot of people know who she is. She does, you know, work with babies, and she does VBACs, and she was actually there for us when we had our miscarriage, and so I think we're going to be taking Neo to see her for anything, if he needs anything or if I need anything from here on out.
You know, take advantage of modern medicine, but not, you know, to the point to where it's just like livestock. I mean, just the whole attitude they have for Generation Next. More people need to have mothers and fathers like you guys to just give them a chance, man. Holy crap! You know, so this, you feeling pretty good about it, Brian? You okay? Oh, yeah. Everything come out all right?
Yeah, at first, you know, I wasn't. You know, I kind of reverted back to my little status ways, and I was like, you know what? At least he has a choice. He has a choice to do what he wants when he gets older. And we didn't make the choice for him, so that was my biggest concern.
I don't know. Has Brian been that hard a sell on all this stuff, Alma? Is he starting to feel it now? You think he's coming around?
Oh, my God. It's crazy. He has changed so much.
All right. Well, we're all supportive of you guys, and we want to make sure that, you know, Neo, like you say, Brian, he just has a chance to make his own choices. And,
exactly.
You know, fortunately, you know, hopefully, you know, years to come, you know, he'll come to this archive and listen to Mom and Dad and, you know, and the story. They probably heard it 500 times before. But what he really needs to understand is a lot of people that love you guys already love him, and we just want to make sure that our future and his are safe, and you're doing a good job. Thank you very much from all
Thank
of
you.
Us.
I am a...
There we go. Yeah.
You know, one of my biggest things, people are like, oh, you're hindering his options by not entering him into the system. And I'm like, you guys are crazy.
Who says that?
Pete statists.
Well, I mean, you know, family, friends, people on the internet, what?
Just, yeah, friends, people that aren't, you know, of like mind, obviously. Yeah. Just people that have been in our lives for a long time that don't have the same thought process as we do.
Well, what does your parents say, Brian?
Oh, my gosh. My mom is like hounding me about circumcising him. And I'm like, and her biggest thing off the bat was he's going to get made so much fun of in school. And I'm like, he's not going to school.
Yeah.
And then she didn't have anything to say after that. And she kept hounding me. She's like, did you get him circumcised? I'm like, heck no. But when I was in there, I heard a baby get circumcised, and I'm not doing that. He's being bloody murder. And she's like, well, you're not supposed to witness that. I'm like, so if I can't see you, you can't see me?
Yeah, I think Neo knows.
Yeah, I'm not chopping his little wiener off. Sorry.
Are you done already?
Who?
No, I'm talking to Keith. He's setting up. Oh, he's already ready. Got his bicycle helmet on. I'm sorry, you got a date?
Hey, Ernie, they pricked him like 16 times trying to find an IV to give him the antibiotics intravenously instead of like 6 shots that it ended up being.
Three shots. Yeah.
They wanted to give him an IV in his head.
Well, that's the only place that the vein is matured enough to where they can actually get it. Because when they poke the little veins in his hand, they just burst because they're like the size of a hair.
Yeah, no, they did. When Sierra, she was about, I don't know, three. How old was Sierra when she had her appendix removed? Yeah, two or three. She was really young. And she was such a trooper. And we're going to, and they were kept sticking and sticking and sticking and sticking. I'm like, whoa, 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 stop. You know, yeah. We're done. And they go, oh, no, we get, and they said they got it. They put it in, and all of a sudden her right arm swelled to like twice its size because they missed the vein and they were just pumping stuff into under her skin.
Oh.
And it was, and I'm going, you know, seriously. And then they wound up taking her appendix, and it wasn't the problem. There was nothing wrong with it. I go, well, okay, one less thing she got to worry about, I guess. But, you know, but it was, you know, I don't think I've ever had a really good experience. You know, the burrs have been pretty okay. I mean, I know, but I mean, any other time we take the high, it's just, I hate this system. It's just so stupid. It's about forms more than it is about people. And I'm just, and then of course they want to track and regulate and archive everything. And yeah. I'm like, nah, it's none of your damn business. You know, whatever. So
it's
I'm
governmentally controlled and regulated, and they got to have this, they got to have that, you got to do this form and this shot and this and this and this. And so
I think I'm amazed that they weren't as amazed. It seems like you're probably not the first one, but you did kind of, you know, buck the system. They're going, damn it, they're not filling out the right. So I was interested in the nurses that were representing the hospital. They go, well, they're not doing it. I mean, can, you know, does anybody have a gun? I mean, you know, what are they thinking? They're going to come in and make you or trick you or guilt you or what?
They were so confused at some of the stuff. They're like, they couldn't understand why we would ever want to do something like that. They're like, what? Why are you doing that? What's going on? What's the advantages of doing that? And they were just looking at us like, okay. And they had to keep going and calling the state officials and asking, like, are they allowed to do this? Can we stop them? Can we handcuff them to the bed?
You know, they've tried. I mean, when they first started, they were like, you can't leave the hospital. I'm going, let me tell you how it's going to work. I'm going to pick up my baby, and I'm going to walk out that door, and I want to see what you're going to do. I mean, there have been cases like that. And it was, what's the one on 3rd and Thomas, Don? St. Joe's. Right? You know, I think that's where it happened. But, you know, so there has been this case, but when we had Kaylee, she's 5 years old. So now the other children, the babies, the attitude is totally different because either they're getting training or there's more people like you that have done this or they're starting to have questions or something. They're not as uninformed or as beating the drum or the rhetoric of, you know, trust the government, they love you or something. That's starting to go away. Did you get that impression or did you catch them totally flat-footed?
I think we caught them. Because Alma was asking all the right questions. She's saying, am I required by law to fill this form out? And then she goes, oh, I don't know. I have to go ask that question.
So where did she get the answer?
She must have been calling, like, some person who sits in an office with a ginormous filing cabinet of all the babies that are birth certificates. The person who, like, actually, like, prints them out. She must have been calling them because she had no clue what the heck we were asking for.
Well, what did she say was the response? No, you don't? Or, well, I don't know?
She just kept getting me to try to initial. First, she tried to say, will you sign what you're refusing to fill out? And I was like, no. Will you initial that you're refusing to refuse? And I'm like, no.
God, they're like cops. I mean, you know, this was this guy, he stopped him for a traffic ticket. You probably saw it on the net. And they go, hey, I see you play frisbee golf. Why is it that everybody that plays frisbee golf is a stoner, man? Yeah, you're a stoner. You know, give me probable cause kind of thing. Then he goes, am I free to go? I mean, you know, it's kind of, and they're just tricking you. They're sons of bitches, man. I mean, you know, they do anything. They play on your, you know, and Alma is insulated from it. Just, no. And Brian, you know, we're still, he's in work.
He just really wanted his son's name to be on something, you know, like it's his son. And I totally understand that. And that's why, you know, I always wanted to do the sign affidavit. And the midwife told us that she would be a witness. And she said the doctor who gave birth to him and did the C-section would be a witness. And Brian would be a witness. And then I talked to Morpheus about the Ampasteel thing.
Right,
I don't
we'll
know
work
if you're
it out. I
got
to get
that.
To my next guest. Don's freaking out. But you go to the blockchain.
Yeah.
Blockchain, blockchain, blockchain. Then it's there forever and always, can never be taken down. You know, this is what we're, you know, this kind of, exactly this kind of stuff we're working. Jeffrey Tucker married a couple in Orlando at Coins in the Kingdom, and they registered on the blockchain. Now you want your name on something, be the first, you know, we'll pimp the living crap out of it, of Neo getting registered on the blockchain. Almas and Brian's son, Neo, registered blockchain forever. You get your forever son right there, Brian. That's how you do it. You ready?
Yep.
All right, let's do it, man. We're going to rock it out. All right, well, go ahead. And you know, that's a good thing. You just call Davi and Drew. Tell them that's what you want to do. They'll make a big freaking deal out of this. Bitcoin not bomb, going blockchain, registering Neo. That'd be awesome.
All right.
All right, I got to go. I got to get to my next guest. Talk to you guys later.
Thanks,
Ray. Bye.
Bye.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Oh, is this a great day for shows today? I mean, we have a good show. Ooh, Mox News. We're going to be helping them, you know, for permanency of everything. And Alm and Brian having their first Neo, Liberty Baby. No Social Security number, no birth certificate in the hospital. Am I required? And to register them on the blockchain. Okay, this is, you know, yesterday we had one of my longest shows. It went 5 hours in the archive. You go, it's just Frank Tamburi, Dr. Frank Tamburi, and I just yakking it up. And one of the stories that he wanted to tell is he wanted to make sure that our guest today got a proper introduction. Donna is trying to get him on so he can do that, but we put him on Skype. That's a thing. But the deal is we have Anthony Miller online. Now, he suffers from cardiomyopathy, and we're going to talk about that a little bit, but that's really not the story. The main story that we're interested in is, of course, we want to hear about that and how he's taking care of that. But he's political. You know, he's legislative District 20. He's a conservative. He's sympathetic to, you know, like freedom, and was very instrumental in Dr. Frank Tamburi being able to address the legislative district and talk about, you know, just what this, you know, Ron Paul, the Lovolution thing really was about. And just, you know, and they're like, no. I mean, and you have big crowd comes in, some people, you know, even, we're walking, leaving, and kind of, you know, the politicos of the, you know, they, them, those, that really don't understand that it's a cultural shift. And the first people to take advantage of this cultural shift in Generation Next, here they be a coming like Neo, that goes, their parents are like, well, we're good. You know, we don't need a state number. Well, you, how you, and you got to get this injection. You got to, you know, it's this attitude. They don't understand. They can't comprehend it. And Anthony Miller was open to it. And he's just to learn, you know. So Anthony, I know Dr. Frank. He really did a great introduction for you yesterday, and talking about his experience with you and so on. But I wanted to, you know, the cardiomyopathy that is of concern to you as a cause, I get the impression. Tell me about it.
Good morning. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to speak to you and your listeners this gorgeous Friday morning in Arizona. Just a little bit about, you touched on a couple of different subjects. One, my political life, and also moreover, the passion of doing good work towards others in the charitable arena. And cardiomyopathy typically is unlike cardiovascular disease, what I can call, I call it the grandfather heart disease. I can say that respectfully because I am a grandfather, but it's a disease where a lot of young folks have, and a lot of times they don't know they have it until a crisis occurs. And a lot of times these crises may occur where children are playing sports such as basketball, football, swimming, and things like that, they will go into sudden cardiac arrest. And if they go into sudden cardiac arrest, and a lot of times schools and youth athletic teams and boys and girls clubs and things like that don't have automatic defibrillators to revitalize and get these people back. And I suffer sudden cardiac death 10 years ago. Knock on wood, thank God. Someone performed CPR on me for 45 minutes.
Wow.
That was my second heart attack. My first heart attack, it was at 35 years old, and 6 months later, I went had a heart attack and went into sudden cardiac death. And someone was able to save my life, and it's been a burning passion for me to get the word out about it and do some great things.
You know, this is one thing that we, in the Liberty community, there's all kinds of different opportunities to help people. And this has been won by Free Aid, FR33AID.com, Free Aid. And the three is kind of the reverse, you know, E, you know, it's a reference to the Lovolution, you know, by we had that logo. So it's FR33AID.com. Free Aid goes to a lot of Liberty oriented festivals and such, and all they do is they do a lot of training, CPR, they show you some aid, they do, you know, a lot of things, but one of them is they show you how to use those automatic defibrillators, and so I've gone through the training on that. It's really quite simple, and they even here at the Arizona State Capitol, they had a heart attack, somebody died, one of the legislators, and then, so they put these automatic defibrillators there, and then later, I think it was the same year or next year, it saved somebody.
Right.
You know, tell us that story.
They actually, when they happened at the state legislator, none of those folks even knew CPR. They didn't have a defibrillator, but luckily they had a young page that knew CPR, and she started performing CPR in the legislator. I think she told everybody else, you know, if you don't know anything, get out of her way. And they went to the other house, and there was a doctor, there was a legislator that came over by then, that young page had saved that legislator's life. So, one of the things that, when it comes to, it's October, and I know a lot of people are, and not to take anything away from breast cancer, but the number one disease in the country that we lose people to is heart-related issues, sudden cardiac arrest. And October is actually sudden cardiac arrest month. It doesn't have a big budget or the marketing as the breast cancer awareness. But in the United States, we lose close to 400,000 people per year to sudden cardiac arrest. Now, it's the number one killer, but when it comes to charitable contributions towards this heart disease, we're like fifth on the list. Now, that's sudden cardiac arrest and cardiomyopathy, which there are three major types. I'm going to talk on a couple of them, which is one of them that I have is hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, which is the enlarged heart that restricts blood flow. And we lose, the CDC estimated that we lose 14,000 school-age children to heart-related issues in America every year. And I will tell you, I've worked in three major hospitals in my life, level one trauma centers, that that I have firsthand experience parents losing their children, and there's nothing as heartbreaking as a mother losing her child, you know, and the sounds of hearing a woman and family screaming is bone chilling. It never leaves your soul.
You know, I'm really glad that we had an opportunity to, get to know you, because you've had such an impact on a lot of us in the Liberty community. Know you're there. And we want to, reward your openness and your support of the truth and just sharing of information by giving attention to things that are important to you, because you've done things that are important to us. And it's a good cause that we're kind of on already a little bit anyway. We'll see what we can do to help.
This is Charles Goyette, author of the New York Times bestseller, The Dollar Meltdown, so you can learn how to protect yourself and your family. Now, you can audit the Fed. You can end the Fed. But why not start by ignoring the Fed? Visit DontTreadOnMeme.com. That's Don't Tread on M-E-M-E, Fashioning the Silver Economy. A meme, a contagious idea that spreads within a culture, a spontaneous order. Nowhere is this more evident than in one's free choice in that most marketable of commodities, money. Let us Austrians use wallet voting. Don't Tread on Meme, the leading craftsman of silver dime trading cards, as well as some offbeat liberty-themed apparel. Follow the history of the dime card outreach at onceuponadime.info. And get a silver calculator app at whatisthiscoinworth.info. Boycott an empire of theft. Build a society of consent. Don't tread on meme.
Did you know that Free Aid is a mutual aid, educational, and networking organization? At Free Aid, we support volunteers who provide first aid. We do outreach to the public about health and safety, and we bring together medically skilled freedom lovers. Free Aid is made possible by your generous support. Donors can receive great gifts like first aid kits, t-shirts, silver dime cards, and hoodies. The Free Aid Silver Dime Card Project is sponsored in part by Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, Freedom's Phoenix, and Don't Tread on Meme. Visit fr33aid.com.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. You know, this is good. We get to talk to Anthony. I've heard a lot about him, and you have a lot of personal challenges, and you go through this stuff, and it gives you a different perspective. And I'm wondering how this brushes with death, and wanting to help other people. You know, you want to make sure, hey, this is a preventable thing. We need to, but you get involved in politics too. How do those two come together, Anthony? I mean, what's up with that?
I can't how it came together. I guess it's just, one, politics has been a part of my life ever since I was a young child growing up in the Chicago area, and parents moving to the Colorado area in the early 80s. So it's one of those, politics is one of those things that I inherited from my father. Politics is in everything. It doesn't matter if it's healthcare, public awareness, it's there. And there are good politicians and there are bad politicians, probably more bad than good. And it's just part of that. It's just part of life. And always been an interest to me. And I think when it comes to the foundation and what we're trying to do for the community, it's one of those things that, you ask yourself, this has happened to you, and to ensure quality towards humanity in the next generation, what can I do as an individual? So I was inspired by my wife and other medical professionals to do something about it.
You know, one thing we're trying to get Dr. Frank on. He really wanted to talk on air. We're having problems getting hold of him in the Skype and doing everything. But how do you know each other? I mean, what did you, you know?
Okay. Dr. Frank Trambotto is a great guy. We often have lunch. And how I got to meet Dr. Frank, him and I were preaching committees in the OLD-20, which is Ahwatukee, all of Ahwatukee at that time, and part of Tempe and Chandler. So we were a precinct committee then, and I started within that body running for different seats. And the first seat that I ran for successfully was to be the second vice chair of the district. And one of my things were I wanted to recruit more people, and they don't have to agree with me 100% because I don't think anyone can agree with 100%. So I wanted to recruit more precinct committeemen. And Dr. Frank, somehow we started talking, and I started, you know, I wanted to know about, you know, Ron Paul, and some people didn't like Ron Paul, and I didn't know why. And him and I started talking, and we would have lunch, and I end up running for chairman and winning, and I hold that dearly because I believe a lot of my votes came from supporters of Ron Paul community, and Dr. Frank and I would meet and talk, and he would educate me. He's actually one of the folks that has inspired me to start buying silver. And so we would meet, and he would educate me on economics. And when I became chairman, you know, he wanted to do a presentation for the district where previously they didn't feel that they had a voice within the district. And I said, sure, I don't see a problem with it. You know, anyone that want to come most certainly would speak. And I remember when Dr. Frank got his presentation, it was one of the most heavily attended meetings that we've ever had when I was chairman leading up to being chairman involved in the district at that time. So it was very, very informative to the people that was in the district and also the folks that came from out of the district when it comes to Austin economics. And, you know, one of the things I wish I would have known Dr. Frank when I was back in high school. And actually, that's where it needs to be taught. You know, it needs to be taught at that level because when kids go off to college, you know, they go off to college and they have a lifelong list of debt to deal with. And somehow the younger generation, just like I'm trying to save young people's lives, heart health, well, young people need to have financial health as well.
You know, this is the fact that he did mention that you called him, I bought my first silver, and now's the time. I mean, you know, you're getting it at a low, and it may go lower or not, it doesn't matter. It's going to go stupid sooner or later. So you're right. Going to, you know, it's like, I mean, what else are you going to invest in? You know, the system?
Hey, it doesn't matter to me if the market is low right now because, you know, one thing, I have a four-year grandchild, and I'm going to be leaving him silver, and I know it's going to appreciate, you know.
RRBI.co. You know, RRBI, Robertson Roberts, man. That's who we get it from, and they're good sponsors, show good friend. Liberty guys hook you up. And always, every grandchild that I have, they send a nice, beautiful, you know, silver ounce Liberty for each of my grandchildren. And it's just, and that's going to be their college tuition by the time they
That's right.
So this is, you know, I'm really glad that you got, and Dr. Frank is really, you know, one of the best representatives that we have. And yesterday, we were for 3 hours on recorded, you know, even after the show, we just went long, and you came up. And one thing that Dr. Frank has, and he's championed this, is involvement in the politics. I mean, he'll go to the Republican events. He'll be at the precinct committeeman meetings. He'll do and speak, and certainly he likes you and he wants to support you. But I'm interested in District 20. Isn't that Russell Pierce's old district?
No. District 20, Russell Pierce's old district is like far east Mesa. I can't remember the.
So you're at least 10, 15 miles away, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's an interesting. Yeah, I thought 20, isn't that? You know, I thought it was 20. Well, what's the legacy there? I mean, how is it that all of a sudden, you know, you have an outsider from somewhere else, a black man? I mean, you got to bring that up, you know, coming in there, right, as being the LD chair, the older people there, I imagine they were like, and you being kind of leaning a little bit, helping the Loveolution and the Ron Paul thing. And so there was a whole bunch of strikes against you, and you prevailed because you just such a nice individual. Well, we want to help. You know, we're going to go ahead and give out the websites, and there's events coming up and different things that we can do for cardiomyopathy as something, yep, that, you know, young people. So you always hear these stories about, he's playing football, and then all of a sudden he just dropped dead on the field. You know, what happened? He's playing back, done. It was this, and you can do something. Yeah, we were trying to, you know, we have it's called a Getner. It's a complicated phone system and so on, and I, you know, to get two, that's a long story. Anyway. Freaking buttons, man. All right. So what we're going to go ahead and do when we come back right away, I want to go ahead and make sure that we get the website and what events are going on and such.
Sure.
And are you, you're on a cell phone?
Right. I'm on a cell phone on a 101. I have another meeting to get to after this.
Okay.
Call.
Yeah, I'm really having to crank you up, and it's causing a crack, you know, in it because I got to have you up so high. Are you using a headset or a Bluetooth or something?
A headset.
Okay.
So I just take it off headset and just talk to the phone?
Well, I don't know. Try it, and let's see what's up.
How's this?
Better. A lot better.
Okay, a lot better. Okay.
Okay, let's do that. All right, Dr. Frank is trying to do that. I think he's trying to learn Skype. I think that's what's going on. I don't know if you want to talk about on air. I don't know if Donna told you. The archive is recorded also in the video.
Do you want to try to call Frank on the phone?
Sure.
He can't. Hold on a second. He can't do that?
He doesn't know.
All right, we're going to try the phone thing again. Hold on just a second, okay?
Okay.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
That's me.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
And we're right back. Yeah, we're working on the phone thing. You know, I think I know what the problem is. The VIP button is on the other line, and we're calling them on the other line because it has a better signal because it's like lines. Whatever. Now, we wanted to go ahead. You got him there?
Anthony.
Yeah, Anthony, I got you there. I apologize.
No sweat.
Okay, that's a lot better because it's we had a not as good a connect. Okay, that sounds a lot better. Let's go ahead and just to honor your efforts and to make sure that you become a new friend, let's talk about, there's some events that are coming up, and of course fundraising awareness for cardiomyopathy and some of the solutions that we can, because we've had situations, high profile situations, not just in the country but here in Arizona, where people have died, and now because of the awareness and we have the technology and these machines, you know, a lot of times, like looking for a fire extinguisher. You look around, you see, yeah, there's the AED. They're marked out, and they're very simple to use. You pull up step one, pull it out. Step two, adhere this. Step three, push the button. Step four, step back. I mean, you know.
Right.
So basically, it's not really that hard. How do you recognize these devices? First off, please give out a website, you know, where we can go to help.
Our website is AmericanFFC.org. That's American Frank Charlie.org. And you go there and you will see a Trader Wars event that's going on this weekend. It's called the Taste of Chandler. And we will have silent auction there, and we will have great food there. All the information is right on the website. You can purchase your tickets there. It's 30 different restaurants that's participating in this effort. Actually, it's tomorrow from 6 to 10 o'clock. And there's great craft beer and such and food and things like that.
Where's it at?
It's right downtown Ocotillo in Chandler. It's going to be in Chandler.
So it's AmericanFFC.org. And that stands for what?
American Foundation for Cardiomyopathy.
American Foundation for Cardiomyopathy, FFC. AmericanFFC.org. Are you still involved in, you know, he told me a story. He said that you drove for McCain. You got to tell the, I mean, the audience, you know, that, you know, AmericanFFC.org. We put that out, and in return, we want to hear all the McCain stories.
Sure. I could touch on that. In 2008, after Senator McCain's failing bid for the presidency, he sought re-election to the Senate, and I was approached to be a part of his campaign team. And this was actually before I was the chairman of District 20, and I was the director of field operations for Senator McCain. Early on, and then as midway through the campaign, I end up being the over one of his campaign offices in Lake Havasu, and it was very, very interesting. If you remember anything about 2010, there was a lot of energy in the air. It was the birth of the Tea Party, and anti-establishment candidates. And it was an eye opening situation for me, because I had just been here for a short amount of time from Denver, and at that time, you know, if you wanted to get involved in politics, you know, you helped those of us in politics already in politics, and come to find out that, you know, Senator McCain wasn't very popular with the base of the party. And so there was a lot of learning curve, and anything about a big campaign such as working for Senator McCain, you have to learn a lot of things very rapidly and very quickly regarding the political movement, especially during that era. So you had people that was at the base of the party, the Tea Party movement, and you had those that are supporters of Ron Paul. I remember doing a town hall in Mesa, and Dr. Frank was there. And Dr. Frank was actually, you know, has very good questions for Senator McCain. And, you know, I gave the mic to Dr. Frank, and folks wanted to know who was Dr. Frank, you know, and on the campaign and also at the Senate office. And I just explained, you know, hey, he's a friend of mine. He's a PC in District 20, and he was pretty challenging for Senator McCain. I don't think Senator McCain really didn't want to. Seemed like he wanted to deal with Dr. Frank at that time.
I don't think he wanted to deal with it. Hell, I ran against him in 2004 as a Libertarian candidate. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, I got me plenty of McCain stories. But the thing is that coming to this state from Denver and getting involved in Republican politics and being, you know, a chairman there and so on, I'm wondering, you know, what your perspective is now. I mean, you know, of Arizona in general, the people, the politics, the Republican Party. I mean, you can see from this revolutionary standpoint, we're all like, ew, on so many levels. And I'm hopefully your experience with Dr. Frank and, you know, and there and the Lovolution and all that and the young activists and everything, you kind of get a bead that maybe Arizona's a little bit different or it's done. I mean, you know, what's your perspective?
I tell you, when I've kind of been on the sideline a little bit, I do have people all over the country actually talk to me about, you know, politics and the party and things like that. Actually, I went to Virginia every year. I go to Virginia every year to a campaign school there, and there's a lot of Liberty kids that go to this campaign school. And, you know, the party needs to recognize a lot of things, you know, and they need to not only recognize but address them. You know, I was actually talking to some Hispanic conservative folks in the earlier part of this week that actually they're more libertarian in mind. And, one of the things that I just told them, I said, you know, I just don't think, you know, I don't think there is a segment of the party that they know they need to address and change, but they just don't want to. And I just don't think they're going to unless they are forced to. And, one of the things that I told him, even when it comes to Latinos and African-American and libertarians, my advice would be to start seeking offices and winning these offices. It doesn't matter if it's school board or what have you, or if it's U.S. Senate. You know, sometimes we don't need to go after the big ones. You know, and one of the things that I learned for Senator McCain was he had a lot of friends in a lot of places, low and high places. And that would be my advice for folks that are more libertarian based. You know, I have a libertarian CPR instructor. And also one of my board members, Harvey Hess, is a libertarian. He's a strong Ron Paul supporter. And that would be my advice.
It's infection. Know? It's everywhere. Oh, my God. They're everywhere. You know, I understand that advice. And that's been, you know, I've been doing this for 25 years. I've run for office, Secretary of State twice, Congress three times, U.S. Senate, county. I mean, you know, I've been there, done that. Got a lot of T-shirts. And the thing is that, you know, one thing that a lot of people don't realize, certainly from our perspective, is that it's not really about political power. It's the challenge of it. It's the mindset. It's the attitude. And that's what you're experiencing with these young people and this whole new wave. Is they're not looking like the people we had on before you. They are going, having their child. They named the child Neo from the Matrix. They go to the hospital, have a cesarean, refuse to get a Social Security number for their child, a slave number. They refuse to even register, you know, and get a birth certificate. They refuse and they go, and we're taking our baby, man. Peace out, and we're done. And they'll register it on, you know, Bitcoin blockchain.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion,
the
coins,
finest.
Rounds, and
Roberts
bars.
& Roberts, Anthony Miller, check these
prices.
Guys out!
They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
RRBI.co. Tim Fry is a good friend. He's one of us. And it's so pleasurable dealing with people that are of the liberty-oriented, well-connected, everybody knows who you are, reputation, endorsed by in the community. So I suggest you're going to be continuing to buy silver and everything. You go check out Roberts & Roberts, and I know you'll go, thank you. You know, because it's such a pleasurable experience, and you're going to get involved in this. And that's one thing. Think about all the libertarians or the Ron Paul supporters that you know, do they seem happier Are they angry like a lot of the, you know, traditional Republicans?
Oh no, absolutely not. They're not angry people. And actually, I couldn't understand. I just couldn't understand even at the in 2008 and 2010. You know, there was an effort to not let so many libertarian Republicans become precinct committeemen. I haven't had any problem. They've been great support for them. You know, when I did district town halls and candidate forums, at that time, it was Kelly Fink, and she was one of the supporters. And I said, you know, I want you to have a table at all our events, you know. And but no, I'm as soon as I get off the phone, after I get done with you, I'm going to be talking to one of my libertarian CPR instructors.
You know, this is hopefully, I mean, you can be a conduit for it. I do you see being black as a asset, a detriment, you know, because the levolution, I noticed, I'm 53, and I mm-hmm. grew up in Florida, so I was right in the middle of, you know, the busing and racial issues and all that kind of stuff, and as a kid, I'm just going, this is like stupid. I mean, you know, all this, the laws that they had and the way the mindset, I mean, we grew up knowing that there was something wrong, and the thing is I saw in the levolution in 2008, age, gender, race, religion, all those things are totally non-issues with the levolution. These kids don't care. It's not even on their, they don't even look, don't matter. It doesn't. And I'm wondering, at your age involved at this level in Republican politics here, you know, is it a detriment, an asset? I mean, does anybody, have we finally evolved to where nobody cares? I mean, where are we at?
You know, I'm going to be quite honest with you. With, you know, the way I was raised, I'm 46. My parents came from the segregated South, Mississippi.
You know, we're coming back. Let's talk about this on air if you don't mind.
Sure.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, Little Led Zeppelin never hurt anybody. Yeah, we'll just crank it up a little bit. Yeah, because I can. Okay. Now, we're talking with Anthony Miller. Anthony Miller is involved in his main passion right now, because he's suffered two near-death experiences here, you know, a cardiomyopathy, which is, you know, it's where we have all these young athletes. They're going around, they're bebopping down the court, and all of a sudden, boom! They drop dead, and everybody's like, what the heck happened? And, you know, it's common enough that becomes an awareness, and, you know, heart disease kills more people than anything else, and it's like number five on It's Not Sexy Enough or something, you know? Well, the thing is that in the liberty community, this has been an important issue. You know, the being able to, you know, be able to help people. Libertarians are very helpful people. They want to, they just don't want to be made to do it or forced to do it or the promise of somebody else is going to do it. You give them the money to do it. I mean, it's just, you know, you want to donate to the people that you trust, people that you know, people like on the board. You have some libertarians. That's good. So what we want to do is just bring awareness to this, because Free Aid, FR33Aid.com, you know, they do this at Liberty Festivals, showing how to use these automated defibrillators. And it's just a little kit about the, you know, a square foot size. You break glass in case of heart attack. I mean, you see them at the airport. You see them in gyms and high school. They got them down at the state capitol now after they had, you know, a legislator die there. I guess that motivated them. So I'm going, okay. You pull this thing down, I tell you, it's very simple instructions. You take out the two paddles, you apply them to the chest where it says do it, and you push the button, it charges, boom. I mean, it's really that simple. So we want to bring awareness to this. But, you know, the one thing I was talking off air with Anthony is being a black man. You know, I don't even know what the terms are. I don't care. I never even, you know, bring this up. The levolution, the gender and race and sexual orientation and all that stuff, it just never came. Nobody cares. And I'm wondering if we've evolved past that point. And when you're doing this and they refer to the LD chairman, they go, the black man. man, the African American? I mean, what? How do they refer to you? What is it, an asset? I mean, tell us what's going on.
At that time, I did notice that I was on the front page of the newspaper, that the Republican Party has picked this first African American district chair, and they pulled the picture off of my Facebook, which is fine. Do I think it was an asset or attribute? I think it was a little bit of both. You know, I do know that I had several incidents that I do believe it was racial incident. I give you an example. I was at a Republican men's meeting. I would never forget this. And a gentleman yelled out in front of about 70 folks, "There's Anthony, get a rope." And I was like, well, if you're going to get a rope, you get two. You get one for me and get one for you. So, I mean, that was the first time.
When was this?
This was back in 2010 at a Republican men's meeting.
Really?
Yeah,
and, I mean, it was an older gentleman with a walker.
Yeah, it was an older guy. You know, he was an older guy, and actually, their state senator in that district was there, and her name is Goodall, and Representative Goodall, and she's saying, "Anthony, why don't you come back here and sit with me and my husband?" And you know, it was I've never experienced racism, known racism like that. You know, it could have been some people. Sure, there are people out there don't like me because, but I don't care. But that was the first incident ever in my life, and for an individual that's representing the party, for an individual to say something like that, you know, I will tell you, as being a Black Republican, you do get a lot of heat from the African American community. And also the Democrat Party. You know, the Democrat Party actually have had me come out to their LD meetings and speak about my foundation more than Republicans have. And, you know, and I can hear them whispering saying, "Oh, he's a Republican," and all of that, but they still support me and the foundation and what I'm trying to do. So,
let's talk about that. Being Republican, I mean, not even. Yeah, I can see the pressure from being a Black man from the left going blah blah blah, and seeing how, you know, they put you in the spotlight and you get your picture taken, and they do kind of in the Republican, and they making political and blah 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 blah. But I'm sure that your experience with libertarians and the Ron Paul supporters and everything, all that stuff, so is way down on their give a crap list, I would imagine.
Yeah, a lot of libertarians that I know. Dr. Frank, my board member, Harvey Hess, Andrea Garcia, that's a CPR instructor. You know, they don't care, and they've never cared. I've been to Washington, Virginia, where I met a lot of libertarian kids there. They have an office there, and that doesn't matter to them. But, you know, hey, it's going to be that segment of the party. It's going to be a segment of society where that matters.
It's going away really fast. I get that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely it's going away.
And I see that, you know, government, it's like they're trying to, all the politicians and the organizations, they want to separate everybody, divide you up and pitch you against each other and then offer the referee. You know,
absolutely. And both parties are guilty of that.
Well, it's going away because of the communication. I mean, you're starting to see a lot of us. I mean, even though I run for office a lot, I don't vote. I haven't voted since 2002. I ran against McCain. They bring it up. They say, "Well, you don't even vote." I'm so glad you brought that up. And they go, "Didn't you get the memo? Never ask Ernie that question. Shut up, because he's going to give you good reasons not to." So, you know, but the thing is that it's not because I don't support expressing yourself. I do. I vote every time we put up the signs. You know, I don't know if Dr. Frank told you, but I'm the one that created the Ron Paul Revolution logo.
And no.
So this is, you can understand, you know, from the early on, and I've known Dr. Paul for a long time, spoken at a lot of our Freedom Summits that we do, three of them. We understood what was going to happen with that. We were, you know, and Levolution started here in Arizona with us. And I'm going, this whole thing has, you know, been a time stamp on humanity's history in our march towards Leave Me Aloneism. And this has been in the works for a long time. A lot of the people that you associate, I've known these guys since the early 90s. And so our relationship with the Republicans and the media and the Democrats and everything is so rich and so varied and so different than a lot of other people, because our goal was never power. It was the elimination of the power. And
right.
So I don't want to wear the ring. I want to chuck it in the fires of Mordor. Libertarians are the hobbits, man. We don't want to be in charge of anybody. And right. People in politics don't understand. But you could, but if you ran, like you say, well, if you run for smaller office, if you did this, if you didn't, you go, you don't understand. Our goal is not to get political power. It's in the mind. The revolution is between the ears. It's for the people, just as a en masse, just to understand that you rule yourself. You own yourself. You're not asking permission from anybody. And that's what you're witnessing. That's what you're seeing. That's why they're so calm, because they don't care. They're not worried about some sanction from somebody else. They're worried about right. saving people. Like, you're using cardiomyopathy to literally save lives. We use philosophy to save lives. You see my right, point?
But, right, I understand that. But how do we get rid of bad people for making decisions for us? You know, because their elections are not going to go away.
Okay, I'll tell you, real simple. It goes like this. You know, this show is called Declare Your Independence, all right? Didn't say what kind of, you know, government to have, just when to recognize when it was bad. Okay, when it's not defending rights of individual, is by it. You know, I break with thee, I break with thee. It's time to alter or abolish. And this is how it goes. Here it is. Here you go. I declare my independence. See how easy it was? And I didn't even need a government form. It's just a state of mind. You know, that doesn't mean I'm not, you know, going to drive on the road, or they're going to put a gun to my head to fill out and sign my, you know, my tax form, or they're going to make me do and pay the ticket and whatever. You know, we do it all under the conscious understanding that it's under duress. And once you come to that point, the rest of it's not that big a deal, and you don't deal with the government. We deal with Anthony. We talk right. to Anthony, not Anthony right. LD chair, black man, poster child of the whatever the hell. We talk to Anthony as a human being that's out there trying to help people, that because he cares, because he has right. a vested interest. So that's why we're doing this, is because Dr. Frank has endorsed you as a human being that he has a lot of affection for, and he wanted to make sure that we all got introduced to you, because here in Arizona, you're right, the system's not going to go away. All the more fun for us to have.
All right.
Hey, thanks for spending time. You made a new friend, and we want to make sure that we, you know, help get the word out. We have it up on today's archive in the webpage, AmericanFFC.org. And, yeah, you're going to go visit your CPR instructors, Andrea Garcia. She was the one that ran against Russell Pierce in his recall.
Oh, yeah, she did. She did run against Russell.
Oh, man, there's all kinds of stories there. Driving around we need to talk to Anthony again. I'm sure this is going to be fun.
Since time began.
There we go. It's all done.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, Anthony, it was a pleasure getting to know you. I know Dr. Frank is very disappointed we weren't able to, you know, get him hooked up and in. We have, you know, the way the phone system were, Skype and him sure. having whatever the hell, because he wanted to say a lot of nice things about you, and he did yesterday on our long show that we did, because we always do when we can. And say hey to, you know, Andrea for us. And
I will.
And I'm just, please, you know, consider us an outlet, an opportunity for anything that you got going, you know, and you want to promote an event, you want to do whatever, and the LD20 or your cardiomyopathy efforts and so on. Just let us know. Let us be, you know, a conduit for you into the community. Would you please?
I really appreciate it. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thanks so much.
It's been a pleasure, Anthony. Have a good day, buddy.
Same to you, Bob. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.